So get ready, everyone, because you are all about to go through hell together.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Technique is sweet, and his danger is omnipresent.
Well, sure. Everybody wants a piece of my action.
Stop right there. The world needs to hear your music.
Never thought I'd see the day.
Time to change him.
It's a hell of a thing.
You can't say hell over the radio.
Why not?
Those are the rules.
Jesus.
You can't say Jesus either.
And now,
let's hear it for vegetables.
Yeah!
Woo! Woo! Tearing for fruits! Yeah!
Our feature presentation.
I am a woman, and this is a bridge. And despite our vast differences, we are very much in love.
Yes. Yes, they are.
I'm glad they can work it out. I think that's terrific when people overcome obstacles in relationships. A lot of people just quit. They go, it's not going to work, man. I'm a human being, and you're just made of steel. But she is committed to the relationship, and she's going to make it work.
You were on vacation when we played highlights of that movie, I Married the Eiffel Tower. And, wow, she took a piece of the bridge and had sex with it. And she just hoped that while that was happening, the rest of the bridge could feel the love that she was sending its way.
She's quite the woman.
For reals. That's for reals.
What if you're in love with a bridge, though? How do you know the bridge isn't cheating on you with someone that's a mile away? I mean,
I'm guessing you don't
keep an eye on the whole bridge the whole time.
She was also in love with the Berlin Wall.
Yeah, it's not like she was all that faithful either.
And, oh, I see.
And there's this group of people who get together who are obsessed with inanimate objects, and they were both in love with the Berlin Wall, and they were fine.
They didn't cat fight or anything, right? No battles,
nothing. They both loved the Berlin Wall. They both visited different parts of it at different times. And one woman actually changed her name, I'm not making this up, to Mrs. Wall.
Yeah. Oh,
that's the best thing ever.
Not even Berlin.
Nope.
But Wall.
Mrs. Wall.
So were they comfortable with polygamy? Did they say it's okay for you to be with the wall? I'll be with the wall, too. It's just like that big love show?
Sure seemed like it. Yeah, I mean, they were friends. They got along with each other. And then what they do is they build little scale models, and then they have sex with those.
Right.
And they love fences. Remember that? The picket fences?
The fences.
Oh, this one woman doesn't know. Just she can't control herself when she's around a fence. They're so sexy.
Well, I mean, there's an awful lot of phallic symbols in one picket fence. I mean, that would be enough to last you your whole life, it seems like.
Yeah, well, good times.
My wife is in love with an inanimate object, by the way.
You?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize that was your joke.
That was it. That was going to be
my bad.
That's the deal there. Hey, you can give us a call right now for Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067 for the Wednesday edition of What It Do. You get on the air, you get a prize. By the way, it is, as you know, today is the day that the computer virus was supposed to take off.
Yes.
Yeah.
And apparently this is the Conficker computer virus, which I really urge you, if you use a computer, you ought to go to the 60 Minutes website and watch their story. It streams from last Sunday night where they explain how unbelievable this virus is.
Right.
And I think if I remember correctly, that they thought that some of the people that were involved in creating this virus are like teenagers too, by the way.
Really? Awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, so at midnight this morning, I guess, as it became the new day, apparently it scanned 50,000 websites looking for instructions on what it's supposed to do next, but they haven't observed activity to suggest what it is it's going to do yet. They don't know whether it's planning to, you know, steal details from banks or send out spam or crash websites or what it's supposed to do, but so far nothing creepy has happened beyond, you know, it already infecting computers.
So it doesn't know what it's supposed to do yet until it gets told, right?
That's right. It waits for instructions from its creator, right? I mean, it has intervals built into it where it asks for, what do you want me to do now, boss? And then at some point it is assumed that the creators of the virus are going to say, do this.
But is it possible that it's going to come across another website that's giving out instructions and it's just going to think that's its directive?
Well, I don't know.
Al-Qaeda.com.
I'm no computer expert, but I would imagine that the I would imagine that the person who wrote the virus would know how it is you're able to instruct it. Now, maybe it's the type of thing that, you know, now that the, you know, now that the antivirus people have found it, maybe they can figure out how to tell it to do something. I don't know. But so far it hasn't happened, but it's just, it's amazing. I mean, hundreds of thousands of computers around the world have gotten it. It's just crazy.
Awesome.
And teenagers, so, you said, were involved with this.
Sure.
They're really smart.
Yes.
They said this is the most not the most, but it's just one extremely intricate and complicated.
I'm like the least susceptible to conspiracy theories. I never like to subscribe to them at all. But they were doing a story on the news yesterday about how if you upgrade your security software to this software, you will most likely be safe to this virus. And I was thinking to myself,
what a great way to sell software.
If I'm filling the blank software company, I'd be really pushing this virus.
Right.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Microsoft apparently has offered a reward, like $300,000 or something like that, to somebody who can, I don't remember what it was, disarm it or track it to where it started or something like that. But they're apparently on the case because, of course, it's, you know, it's PCs using Microsoft that are susceptible to the virus.
Right.
So, anyway, good times. But so far, I mean, people were wondering what was going to happen when midnight struck. So far, it's not any worse than it was yesterday, which is good news.
So far, not much. All right.
And I wonder if conficker is going to be somehow a new swear word. I wonder if that's going to be a terrible thing to call someone.
I'm in the parking lot, and this guy confickered me right there.
It's unbelievable.
That's a pretty good word.
I like it.
All right. It is Wednesday. It's the 1st of Aprilingus. And it's time for your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
If you're the type of person who always listens to this segment and have wanted to get in on it but have never called, today's your day. We got a couple of lines open at 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, get a pair of tickets to join K-Rock at Six Flags Magic Mountain. It's spring break time, you know, and you'll be able to go for free on Saturday, April 11th. So please enjoy.
All right, let's begin with Jason in Riverside, which is a very easy question to answer. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, guys. What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
So, basically, I just need some advice, and this morning I went in, I bought a pack of cigarettes and found out that they cost about $8 a pack right now.
Oh, 62 cents added on starting today, the federal taxes, yeah.
62 cents.
So, basically, what I was trying to figure out is, I just quit smoking pot this past Sunday. I've been smoking cigarettes for about 10 years, and I'm trying to figure out what I should do, because I mean, cigarettes are so expensive. I could go and pick up a dime for about the same price now.
Yeah. Well, so what's your question? It seems like that's an easy answer.
It's kind of an either or to me, and it's, should I?
Or which makes you feel better, a cigarette or pot?
Well, at the end of a long day, I'd rather smoke a doob than.
That's a lot safer.
You just answered your own question. It is a lot safer. Yeah. That's true.
Hey, let me ask you this question, though, because I honestly don't know, Jason. Even if you're smoking pot, aren't you still addicted to nicotine? Don't you still crave tobacco as well?
That's what I was thinking. Should I go on the patch and just try and screw cigarettes all together? Because, I mean, it's just getting to that point where cigarettes are just too damn expensive.
Well, I mean, that's not the only reason to quit. I mean, there's lots of good reasons to quit smoking, obviously. But
They're too good for you, for example.
If it becomes a financial burden, that's another reason to kind of put up in that column to maybe stop. But it doesn't sound like the pot will hurt you.
Absolutely.
Just all weed right. it up. Thank you. Guy from Riverside can't figure out whether to smoke cigarettes or weed.
I know, really.
Important question.
Wow. All right, let's go to Doug in Corona. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Doug?
What's going on?
Well, I was driving home from work yesterday, and all of a sudden, I got the fear.
The fear.
The fear.
That is not where you want to get the fear.
No.
No.
Dude. I was about to go traffic, and it was horrible. I was just driving, you know, I mean, I was just sitting in traffic, and all of a sudden, it hit me like a ton of bricks.
So. Yeah.
The fear.
So, so what did you do?
So I had to get off of the next exit. There's an Embassy Suites there, and I jumped out of my truck. I didn't even lock it. I just ran inside there. I was dead. Sweat was just beating off of me.
my eyes were bulging out of my head, and I asked, you know, the employee, I said, where is your bathroom? As I was running, and they just were super scared, and they just saw the look on my face, and they just pointed me in the right direction.
The fear.
The fear.
That's not what you
really
want.
Made it.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, if you the run into fear. A place like that with that look on your face, I bet you don't get the, sir, it's for employees only.
Yeah, of course not.
They just point and run the other way.
This is really just for people who are staying here. Here's my credit card. I'll take a room.
Doug, what is that, too, that you start sweating as if you've just run a marathon? I don't know, but it's...
I could barely hold on to my steering wheel, too. My hands were clammy.
No, it's true. You start shivering and sweating. I don't understand that.
That's awesome.
The fear
is very powerful and very dangerous, and I thought it was something that Psycho Mike was making up because I'd never heard of it before, but now apparently we get lots of frequent sightings of the fear. It apparently is out there.
It is out there, and it is it's striking with a vengeance. It is. This time it's personal. Richard in Whittier, good morning.
What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Hey, Psycho Mike, what's up with the Lakers, buddy?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Dude, they lost two games in a row.
Two in a row on the road. They were supposed to at least come out and just dominate this time, but... what's going on?
The Bobcats are the most successful organization against the Lakers.
Yeah, they're
isn't that crazy?
They beat us, what, like 7 out of 10 times or something?
Yeah, 6 out of 10.
But, Mike,
it's crazy.
Wasn't it like 3 games ago or something that they clinched best record or they clinched something?
Look,
I mean, they can coast now, right?
This is not this is not catastrophe for the Lakers. But, you know, as you're getting ready to start the postseason, you would like to see them hit a groove. And they're
at the right time, right?
Especially the last two games. They're playing not like a number one first place team.
But when do the playoffs start?
Like... 2 weeks.
Okay, well, listen, they're going to have a letdown at some point in the season. I sure would rather have it be now than, you know, as soon as the playoffs start. I'm all right with it. They're good.
The problem I've seen, at least in the last two games, is that they come out flat and they underestimate their opponents. And then in the fourth quarter, Kobe takes it upon himself to try to take over. And, you know, he's shooting below Kobe Bryant levels. You know, he's shooting at 35% instead of 60, and it doesn't work out.
Yeah,
right.
They're okay. They're fine.
I think the Cavaliers, by the way, won their 13th in a row yesterday.
So?
I'm just saying.
Stupid LeBron James. I hate that guy.
That guy's the worst. He doesn't deserve anything he's got.
Like he made that half-court shot. That's stupid.
He doesn't even have a ring.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
All right. I got a bogus speeding ticket. I'm sorry, not a speeding ticket, but a violet. What is it? What do you call it if it's a parking? Not a parking ticket, but a fix-it ticket.
Okay.
At the parking lot at LAX. That's like going fishing in a stocked pond.
So your car was parked there for several days?
Yes.
And someone
somebody wandered around
and...
looking for tickets.
And you thought it was a no-ticket zone.
Well,
you thought whatever is ticketable is not applicable in this parking lot.
That's bogus. Let's face it. That's where they go when they're behind on their quotas that they don't have. And,
I'm sure everyone's behind on their quotas.
You know what I mean? And then they just walk around. They can write a bunch of tickets for people. It's just, it seems lame. It's bogus. Not
Kevin,
right.
Kevin, thank you for helping support the state of California in this time of need.
You are welcome. Doing my best. Also on the program today, we have the Reverend Speaker Gerald Polly and his little bowling ball of a wife, Linda. Very excited about this.
I have been trying. He sent another email this morning, the Reverend Polly. He's got a lot of time on his hands, and I've lost the thread of what it is he's trying to do at this point.
He's not succinct. Succinct. Is that the word?
No.
Nor concise.
Neither, He does tend to go on for quite some time in the email.
Yeah.
It's something to do with homosexual porn on the internet, and it also has to do with the G20 summit that's going on, and it also has to do with... I don't even know. There's so many things going on in his emails now that I can't really – he's writing all these letters not only to Maria Schwarzenegger, but he's writing all these female news reporters in Texas about something that they're supposed to be doing. I can't get it. And maybe it's just – maybe my eyes just glaze over after the first 100,000 words in his emails. So maybe it'd just be easier in a phone conversation to have him let me know what's up.
Well, and you're also not the voice of God in Southern California. So
that is true. By the way, God, he tells us, is not going to be able to join us when we speak to the Reverend after 6 o'clock this morning because he's up to his armpits in demons right now.
Wow.
Whoa,
so we're not going to be able to talk to God. We're just going to be able to talk to his humble servant, Gerald Polly.
God wanted me to mention especially that he has appointed Kevin as his only true voice in California.
I'm sorry.
Whoa, Kevin.
Whoa. Stop right there.
What was that?
Yes. No.
Yes.
No. Kevin is not speaking for God in California.
I am the only voice of God in Southern California.
I say everybody else has failed him.
That's right.
Kevin
hear.
Can't speak for Kevin. He can't speak
How
for
dare
any
you?
Of us.
How dare you insult
speak for God?
How dare you insult God's mouthpiece?
Are we prepared to let the Kevins of the world decide anything for us? Yes. Anything at all?
Yes, we are. Thank you for asking. And I've got a great suggestion for April Foolishness. I think you guys are going to love. So we got that coming up as
it
well.
It better not involve the words Armenian. It can involve the words comedian, but just the word Armenian cannot be involved.
And also don't forget, K-Rock presents U2 at the Rose Bowl October 25th. All week long, we're going to give you tickets to that show. And if you win the grand prize drawing, you're going to get a chance to go on the road with them. You see them in France and then in Germany and then in Holland and then in their hometown of Dublin, Ireland.
That is, I don't know what that is. That's crazy.
So we're going to qualify you for that as well. This morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph Showbiz Beat is now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 551.
Later on in the show, by the way, Ralph, we're going to get somebody on from Entertainment Weekly to talk about that list you did yesterday.
Bring it on!
Of the top 20 heroes of all time. I know you were very concerned that Batman did not place well on the list, and they'll have to explain why.
It has nothing to do with my concern. It has to do with right and wrong.
It's
with
science.
Just and unjust.
It is science.
Exactly. Yeah. It is empirically provable that is bogus.
It's not subjective? It's not an opinion at all?
No. Okay. Not 18. Maybe we'll fight over 5, 6. Maybe we'll agree to disagree. Not 18.
Top 10 is provable.
That's what I'm saying.
Anyway, that is also coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. The Pollies from North Dakota, if they're not underwater. We'll talk to them coming up after the news at 6. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday. Or Wednesday, excuse me.
Happy pretzel month, everybody. Did you know April's official pretzel month?
Did not know that.
Did you know that, Bean?
Did you know that Pennsylvania produces 80% of the world's pretzels?
No.
I trust because it's you and not me, and you're going someplace funny with this.
It's a big deal in my home state of Pennsylvania.
Right, but I'm trusting that you wouldn't just bring it up without punchlines or a direction.
Oh, jeez. Now the pressure's on. Did you know monks in southern France are believed to have invented the pretzel around 610 A.D.?
There is no justification whatsoever for what you're doing.
I'm just saying, I love pretzels.
Thanks for that info, Ralph.
Come on.
Wow.
Did you hear about the woman who humped a pine cone?
No, is that a setup to a joke?
No, it's a true story.
Okay.
Doctors had to spend 2 hours in an operation removing it from her nether regions.
Was she in love with a tree?
No.
Is that what it was?
Wow. But she sure did have affection for that pine cone until it turned on her.
The women in the office in there are just on the ground.
I know.
Paint,
I like to do it once in a while because we get so many junk stories with the guys.
We do.
Yeah.
That it's really unfair that the ladies don't get to cringe nearly as often as we do. So I wanted to throw that out there when I read that story. I said, oh, this would be good for Cleo and Alex and Lisa.
Sure.
Thank you.
Vagina. Surgery to remove a pine cone from your hoo ha.
We do this all the time for guys, and they're fine with it.
Yeah,
I think it's funny.
Ooh,
laugh
chuckle,
it up.
Chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. Not so much now with the pine cone.
Did you hear about the
good news is,
yes,
she smelt pine fresh down there when it was all
nicely done. Yeah. Nicely done.
Let's take a look at showbiz news, shall we? This is sad news. I don't know if you guys watched Angel much or not, the TV series Angel.
Yeah.
Remember Lorne, the singing demon on that show, the green-skinned demon?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And actor Andy Hallett, who played that character, has passed away at the age of 33 years old.
Wow.
What
from
happened?
Congestive heart disease.
33. Oh, so that was from birth?
Yeah, it was a congestive defect. And apparently he's been battling the serious end of this heart condition for more than 5 years, and he just succumbed to it on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
So it's sad news because he was a talented guy, and he was a great role in a great show. I wonder what happened to him after the show went off the air. He didn't seem to work much, and now I know why. He was
a demon.
He was unwell.
First of all,
he wasn't a demon. Catherine Heigl, speaking of demons, apparently has seen the error of her ways. Now she's telling anyone who will listen in the journalism field that she loves being on Grey's Anatomy.
What?
Loves. Loves the writers, loves the cast. Would like to do movies, but has no intention of leaving the show. Wants to stick around, wants to be on the show.
What?
Well, that's funny because she's dying on the show.
She's dying now, yeah.
What?
I think maybe she recognizes that that's a golden goose that she might want to ride for a couple more years, and now that they're starting to write her off, she's having a bit of a change of heart regarding her attitude towards the show.
Yeah, might be too late.
She
may have mouthed off too much.
Her brain is filled with cancer.
Yeah, I want that that fat little black midget to hold a pillow over her head until she, until she stops fighting.
That would be an awesome plot line, by the way, if Bailey smothered her to death in her bed.
Sure would. You guys catch American Idol last night? Oh,
No.
It's good. Is it good?
Haven't seen it yet.
The performers got to pick their own song. You could pick any song you wanted to, any genre you wanted to, as long as it was downloadable on iTunes.
Oh, wow.
No way! I think it was a big iTunes commercial.
Yeah, you think?
And I'll tell you, I think a noob's in trouble.
No! What'd you pick?
Don't you, Kevin? Don't you think a noob's in trouble?
Oh, a noob? I thought killed it. He turned it out last night.
Did he, dog?
I don't know.
Megan Joy, Anoop did Caught Up by Usher, by the way. It's horrible. Okay. Megan Joy did Turn Your Lights Down Low by Bob Marley. Horrible.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
And let's see, who else is in the bottom? Allison Arahita did Don't Speak by No Doubt, which I thought was pretty good. But according to DialIdol.com, which tracks the voting on the phones, Anoop, Allison, and Megan Joy will be at the bottom of the vote getters tonight when we find out who's going home.
Very well, job done, baby.
The judges seem to like Allison more than the public does. They're crazy.
I like her. I like her a lot. I'm surprised to see her at the bottom.
Me too, and that's the second time. She's
got a very
really talented.
You're very 16 years old, got an amazing sort of rock gravelly voice, and did a good job with No Doubt, I thought. But I think the gay Elvis impersonator, he's the one's going to take it all now. He was very impressive last night.
He's got the momentum, that's for sure.
Yeah.
This conversation reminds me of one that I had last night. I was playing poker.
Yes.
Everyone at the table was talking about Idol.
Like that now?
And they kept going and going and going. And finally, I just lost it. I was like, stop talking about American Idol.
All your big-time showbiz pals like American Idol, don't they, Kevin?
I hope they ignored you.
They did.
Kevin, you had the opportunity to jump on. You knew when the new season started. You could be having fun, too.
How is watching American Idol and having fun in the same sentence?
You could be like the rest of the cool kids.
The show blows, and the music they pick most of the time blows, and their versions blow.
How can you say that? Last night, some kid sang, play that funky music on TV. That's what America's watching.
Yeah. But it was cool. They had like a new arrangement of it.
Oh, good.
And another kid sang Just the Way You Are by Billy Joel. You don't get to hear that very often. But No Doubt, some girl did No Doubt. Kevin.
Right. Okay, so that's one song this season that I would listen to.
Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone, Bill Withers.
Very well, job done, baby.
And over on Dancing with the Stars, Lisa. Oh, see last night, Lisa, Dancing with the Stars? Can you believe what happened?
Shut up.
I paid Lisa.
Someone's got a pine cone in the wrong place this morning.
I actually paid Lisa cash so that she can't talk about this show.
Can you pay her cash and tell her to stop being so bitchy?
Nope.
No.
I don't
Steve
have that much.
Steve Wozniak from Apple Computers and Playboy, Playmate, Housemate of Hugh Hefner, Holly Madison, got booted off last night.
Oh,
I don't know. They're hitting two at a time now. So we're heading towards the final countdown there.
He's that fat, hairy dude that helped found Apple?
Co-founded Apple Records. Yeah. Apple Computers, yes.
Yeah. The fact that he was on that show after the first week had to be a scandal.
He was not a good dancer.
Really?
But the judges were horrible to him. I mean, beyond even Simon Cowell, like, wow, that was just terrible.
Oh, you mean mean?
Mean. This week they did a samba or some South American dance, a tango or something. And one of the judges said, you were supposed to go down south and pick up the passion of the tango. And instead, all you came back with was the reek and stench of that country.
Wow.
I was like, wow, that's kind of rough.
This is a dancing
show.
Dude's
a computer geek. He doesn't know what he's doing. Why'd you lighten up?
The reek and stench.
I get the impression they just think he, you know, once he did the worm that one week, I just think they feel like he's not taking it seriously, maybe. Like he's not trying hard enough for them.
Right, but they know this is a TV show, right, where people dance? Okay.
Right. And he's entertaining.
And lastly, a Florida TV station last night refused to air Fox's new Osborne Reloaded family variety show.
Why?
The station called the show, and I quote, unsuitable and contrary to the public interest. To which
Florida?
I say, you're in Florida.
Yeah, no kidding.
The Osbournes look like the royal family compared to the people who live in your state, sir. How dare you?
Did they say what it was on the show specifically? Was there a particular sketch they had trouble with?
No, just the entire content of the show. They found unsuitable and contrary to the public interest.
That's weird, because Kelly's not even fat anymore, so that's not it.
But they got people kissing grandmothers and stuff and everything, and cursing children and things.
Well, that's pretty tame compared to a lot of stuff on TV, though, isn't it?
Listen, what am I, the mayor of Florida? What the hell do I know? I'm just telling you the story.
Yeah, Ralph is
somebody
the opposite of
somebody in Florida
of these
has
people.
A problem with the content of the Osbourne Show. My point was, how ironic that the moral uppity, the moral barometers are in Florida.
Yeah.
Which
Florida?
Is an effed up state in the union.
It is. 75% of the crazy people stories that come out in the news are all from Florida.
And they're all honked up and they got no teeth and meth and incest and cats sleeping with dogs.
That's
madness down there.
Florida?
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Rapper, actor Method Man is 38 years old. Annette O'Toole, who played Clark's mom on Smallville for many seasons. 57 years old today. Reggae singer Jimmy Cliff turns 61, and actress Ellen McGraw turns 71 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This next guest caught our attention when he said that nobody from California was going to be allowed into heaven, and we found that a little shocking.
Wow. It was kind of a bummer, to be honest.
So we called
Although,
him.
Although, when he explained it, it made a lot of sense, by the way. Now I'm on board with him. I think he's right.
You think he's right? Yeah.
I do. I think he's onto something.
So he claims that he can talk to God and everybody in the afterlife, and that Kurt Cobain writes songs and gives them to his wife, Linda. She sings them.
Mm-hmm.
John Lennon writes songs.
Right.
That used to be the appeal of the Pollies for me, but now, I mean, that's fun that they can do that. It's awesome that he can get John Lennon on the horn whenever he wants. But now the Reverend Speaker and his wife have so many other things going on. I feel like they're kind of the focal point of what's happening in the world right now because they got their fingers in so many pies right now. But it's getting tougher and tougher for me to keep up with what they're up to and what they need us to do. And that's why we thought it might be a good time to get him back on the phone and find out what's going on in the beautiful, great state of North Dakota. The Pollies, ladies and gentlemen, join us on the Kevin Bean Show.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Gerald. Hey, Linda.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing? Linda, I understand you're having some health problems. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm pretty good. A few aches and pains.
Okay.
Aches and pains? Sure, that makes sense. Well, Gerald, I'm glad we got you on the horn because you've been sending a lot of emails lately, and I can only read about the first million words before my eyes start to glaze over. So I thought maybe you could just encapsulate for us what the heck's going on. Like, what's this thing in San Francisco that you're talking about that you want to be at but aren't going to be able to attend?
God wants to march through San Francisco using my physical form and condemn the people in City Hall and tell them that, you know, they're going to suffer eternal death if they don't stop this support of homosexual marriage.
Okay.
That would go over really big in San Francisco if you were to organize a parade like that.
I don't think the people in San Francisco would appreciate it too much.
Gerald, I don't mean this to be insulting, but don't you think God could find a better body than yours or mine to march?
He would like to sometimes, but unfortunately, we're the only things available right now.
Well, to do that march, I'm guessing that's probably true.
So, I mean, it's just so weird in 2009 that this is what he wants you to do. But I guess if God's against the gays, then he's against the gays forever, huh? It doesn't matter what we here on Earth think about it.
Right. You've got a point there. And I mean, he wants this thing so bad that he's offering Maria Shriver power equal to his own if she helps him arrange it.
God is offering Maria Shriver God's power?
He's offering her a whole world of her own to rule over as a spiritual ruler if she helps arrange this march and helps with our presidential campaign.
Gerald, correct me if I'm wrong because it's hard to keep track of everything. I apologize. My memory is never. But didn't God's hatred of homosexuality go all the way back to the time when you were walking down the street and somebody whistled at you?
Oh, man.
Right?
Wasn't
that
that?
Even before that?
Yeah.
But that was really the thing that drove him crazy.
Oh, no. What drove him crazy was when Obama signed the agreement with the United Nations to sodomize Americans' children.
What?
I was watching CNN yesterday, and they didn't cover that.
What are you talking about, Gerald?
Apparently, the UN has this campaign out, and they're trying to get every nation to sign on to it that no nation will establish any laws prohibiting homosexuality. And Obama signed on to it.
But that's not about children. That's about adults.
Why did you say sodomize children?
Yeah.
Well, when they're teaching their stuff, they're sodomizing children.
Wow.
Well, when they're out in the streets, that is all true.
That is a loose interpretation of the word sodomize.
You did mention the G20 meetings that are going on in Europe right now that the president is attending. Did you have some thoughts on that or some concerns or something that you would like to see happen?
Well, we're not exactly sure, but the demons sure don't like it because they're throwing everything they have at us over there.
Okay.
And God has literally, that's why he's not with us this morning, he's over there in the fighting.
Oh, so if we wanted to talk to God today, he would not be available?
No.
Wow, even for you?
As we said in the email, he's up to his armpits in demons.
Wow.
I'm surprised that God, who, you know, is all-powerful, would be able to be stretched thin. It seems like he could be everywhere at once if he wanted to be. That's at least my understanding of what it says in the Bible.
Well, basically, he can be through his people.
Ah.
But to focus and to be in certain places, he needs people there to bring his power.
Okay.
Now, I understand.
Now,
okay.
Why are the demons at the G20 meeting? What are they trying to accomplish?
We're not exactly sure.
Huh.
We don't know. All of a sudden, they threw everything they had at us.
And when you say we, you are talking about you and God.
The forces of the kingdom of God.
Right.
Well,
okay.
So are they trying to disrupt the summit?
I believe so. They're trying to cause some chaos.
And there. God's trying to prevent that?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. A couple more quick things. We're on the line with the Reverend Speaker Gerald Pauly and his beautiful wife, Linda. VoicesFromSpirit.com is the website if you want to check it out. You said in one of your emails, Gerald, that you have been writing letters to Texas news reporters, like 63 female Texas news reporters. What's that about? What are you trying to accomplish down there?
It was about the march. And God invited the governor of Texas, and he wants him to come, and he wants the Bushes to come.
To the San Francisco march.
Right.
Oh,
I see.
How's the response rate on that one? How are the RSVPs?
So, you know, he wants to get as many celebrities and politicians involved in it as possible.
And how many do you have now, celebrities and politicians?
None.
Zero.
Nobody is responding yet.
Yeah. Well, you got to start from start. What's the date of the march supposed to be, Gerald?
It's supposed, the date that God wants is April 17th, Linda.
Uh-huh.
And this is, I guess, they're supposed to have some things in schools, a day of silence promoting homosexuality or something, and God wants to use that date to call out against homosexuality.
I see. Okay, April 17th, we got that. All right, let's turn our attention to Mrs. Pauly, because we got an interesting email from you this week about some comedian that you are enamored of. What's that all about, Linda?
Well, his name is Andre Meadows, more known on the Internet as the Black Nerd.
The Black Nerd. And
he has a show streaming Internet TV show online, and he has a website, and he does stand up, and he's been in a movie called, I think it's called The Break Dance Kid, and he's on the Movie Mob site reviewing movies on a show, and he does just about everything, and he's just awesome, and everybody loves him, and I thought you guys might like to
with our April Foolishness show,
right?
Friday night. Yeah, I have a little clip of this black nerd comedian.
Oh, okay. I'd like to hear it.
Let's hear it.
Want to hear a little of that.
Chocolate nerd. Call me that and I will be flattered. Chocolate nerd. Broken glass, it will be all shattered. Chocolate nerd.
So you can see he's got the chops.
Oh, yeah.
We have to figure out, Linda, is we just have to go back and figure out the schedule and, you know, see the amount of time that each comedian gets, because we don't want to short anyone else to, you know, to bring in this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But we will seriously consider him, because that sounds like gold.
How did you find the black nerd?
Well, actually, thanks to William Shatner on MySpace.
I'm sorry?
Thanks to William Shatner on MySpace.
Yes.
I have him on my friends list, and he sent out about a year ago notice about he was having a chat at my video. And I signed up to go to that, and after that, it's kind of confusing.
Yeah, it's confusing already, Linda.
I got it. Another show, and he was a co-host of that.
Oh, I see.
One
okay.
day, and then I checked out his own show, and been a fan ever since.
Yeah. All right. Are you kind of sweet on him a little bit, Linda? And is that a cause for concern for you, Gerald?
No.
No.
No. Here's a little of his comedy stand-up act as well.
You see, when Scooby talked, he always replaced the first letter of most of his words with the letter R.
Scooby-Doo he's talking about.
Okay. So if more rappers sang like Scooby-Doo, then they could say almost anything they want and never have to censor their songs.
Reep, reep, whoop, whoop, why you all in my rear? Rock in the road, what you rip that I ain't run the rear? Rip, rap, brother, rocker, you'll roll me right, rap.
All right, see, so we are going to have to try and find some space.
How have I not heard that before? Right.
Yeah, that's funny. All right, you guys. Well, listen, anything else? Any other message for the people of Southern California before we let you go? It's been great catching up with you today.
Only support God. Call support him God. To California.
Call
tell,
in.
Okay. Tell the governor. Send that invitation.
Okay.
Okay, for the big march.
Gerald, if we could just ask one thing, and it's not a reflection on you. It's our ability to concentrate. But your emails are a little wordy.
I know.
Sometimes
God is very long-winded.
Well, can you tell God
to get him to keep it down, but it's almost impossible.
Can you ask him to try and be concise? Because if anyone can do it, can't God?
Why would you edit God, though?
But
isn't every word gold, Kevin, if it comes from God's mouth?
We want to read your emails, Gerald. It's just after the fourth day of no sleep and no rest and no eating. And, you know, we're on page 214. It's difficult to get all the way through, and that's a bad reflection on us.
I try so hard to get him to keep, you know, to keep on one subject. And keep
he just won't
so
do it, will he?
Stupid God.
Oh, that God.
The Caliban throwing acid on little girls and stuff
All right.
Like that.
I'm going to act like I didn't hear that. Gerald Pauly and Linda Pauly. Of course, the website again, Bean?
VoicesFromSpirit.com. Thanks, you guys. Have a great day in North Dakota. Thanks
you
for
too.
Talking to us.
Let's talk to the creator of craps.com.
That doesn't sound good.
Doesn't sound good, I know, but Alex is on the phone. Good morning, Alex.
Guys, good morning.
Hi, Alex.
Thank you for joining us. Now, as I understand, craps.com, basically it's a website to make fun of all the silly Apple apps for iPhone that most of us haven't even heard about.
Exactly. I mean, there's like 30,000 applications in the App Store, and trust me, a lot of them are, like I said, crap.
Yeah.
I can't believe, looking at your site, how many different applications there are to help women predict when their periods are coming. What's that all about?
Exactly. I mean, I think the hard part is actually naming all those applications. But
sure.
I guess it's relevant. There's, about 20 of them at least. So,
but how much help? I'm not a woman, of course, but how much help do you need figuring that out?
Well, maybe they're using that rhythm method, in which case you better be right.
Right, but okay.
It gets complicated,
you need an application
boys.
To
you
figure
don't
that out.
Know.
I don't.
Shut
that's
up.
That's what I'm asking. Wow.
So, Alex, you don't invent apps, right? You just write about them?
Yeah, exactly. I basically, every night, I go through hundreds of apps that are new, and I just kind of find the ones that'll make you laugh and make you think, like, what the heck was Apple thinking?
Well, it's not Apple in most cases, is it?
Well, no, it's not. But you know what? Apple has the final say
sure.
of what goes in that app store, and then there's a lot of just crazy apps that they're approving right now.
I'm not up on this as much as Bean is.
Yeah.
But didn't they not allow outside apps for a long time, and that was a big point of contention with people that had the phone?
Right, exactly. They started allowing apps probably back in, August. And so all these third-party developers started submitting these apps, and it really took off. It really enhanced the iPhone. But it's just kind of getting out of control right now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about some of the ones that you talk about on your site, craps.com, which, by the way, if you want to play along at home, it's spelled K-R-A-P-P-S, craps.com, and we will put a link to that from krock.com. There are some applications that have to do with boobies. Now, this is the one that really surprised me, because I would think Apple, you know, they would have some policies against stuff that's a little bit smutty, but no.
You would think, but you know what? The developers are getting creative. The boobies app are not for boobies. It's to manipulate photography. It's to make your Jell-O jiggle or the Golden Gate Bridge jiggle. Mm-hmm. But hey, everybody knows you can take a picture of boobies and then place these little targets on the boobie, and then you got jiggling boobies. So there are.
Wow.
Yeah. So you know, the developers are getting creative. So mm-hmm. they know how to get around things.
One of them is called Eye Jiggles. There's another one called Wobble that do the same thing, that basically make pictures of a girl's boobs bump up and down. What's the drunk dialing enabler? What's this one all about, Alex?
Well, you know, you guys had the guy who had the bad decision blocker,
right.
And that means you can't drunk dial. But there's this developer out there who went the completely opposite way. So he developed an app. If you're totally smashed, totally blitzed, You can't dial the darn phone. All you have to do is shake it, and it'll dial for you. So that'll be your drunk dialer right there.
Oh, is that the ringer roulette?
That is ringer roulette.
And so so you don't even know who you're calling. It just dials, and you talk to whoever happens to pick up.
Exactly. But
love
this,
that.
Right. But this, you know what? The developer is actually cool. You can go ahead and block, like, your mom's name or your priest, so you're not calling them, like, at 3 a.m.
I would like to suggest, since we had that guy on yesterday and we have this guy on today, that people trying to take away drunk dialing, you're doing a great disservice to to society.
Because
drunk dialing is awesome.
It is. Absolutely.
Now, I don't use it, Alex, but isn't there a way on some of the iPhones to shake your phone and have it start playing randomly in iTunes? Is this kind of the same idea for this one you've just described?
Yeah, for Ring Roulette, exactly. You just basically shake it, and it just jumps on a number, and it will dial it for you, and then you can go to town.
How do these people not – there are a lot of good video games that you can play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why don't they do that? I mean, how much time can you spend trying to figure out when your period is? And why aren't you playing a video game?
Well, you know what?
Can't you do it all?
Well, I'm just saying.
You know what? iFart kind of started this all. I mean, basically, iFart was the first kind of racy app, Apple approved. You push a button, your iPhone farts.
Yeah, and you can put a delay in it. That's a good one, by the way. That's well
you
worth
go.
Your
I know
time.
That's right up your alley.
Yeah, that one rules.
Right, and you know, it shot up to number one. The guy made millions. He quit his job. Who knows what he's doing now? So, you know what? Everybody wants to jump on that party train.
Yeah.
Alex, I was going to ask you about this. I'm glad you brought up the iFart guy because he did cash in big. Is there tons of money to be made for these applications, or are most of them the guy makes a couple of $1,000 and it's hardly worth the time creating it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's 30,000 apps. I heard a figure there's like 40,000 developers that actually are in this program making apps for Apple. I think, you know, honestly, I mean, I don't know for sure, but I think for the most part, you know, they aren't making a lot of money. There is a golden pot at the end of that rainbow, so I think everybody's reaching for it. But I think for the most part, you know, it's a tough road to bear. And plus, you know, you've got 30,000 apps you got to compete against, man.
Yeah,
you
right.
got not only got to develop it, but you got to market the darn
What's
thing.
The dumbest, worst one yet?
Oh, there's just so many. Okay, there's something. There's two apps called Spank. And then one called Spank the Monkey.
Okay, I don't. Yeah. I think Mike would be into both of those.
Okay, but we're not going where you think with the whole monkey thing. Basically, well, I guess maybe you are. Anyways, the spanking apps are positioned as stress relievers. So if you're having a bad day, guys, take out your iPhone, launch this app, and just spank your iPhone. It'll make you feel better.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
Lame.com.
Yeah. Exactly. Or then, for example, let's say...
I'd say that's a good enough example right there.
Or how about if you're at a concert, right, and you're having a little bit too much beer, you need to go pee. But then there's hundreds of people around you, so you got a little stage fright. Well, just start your Shy Bladder application. And this will help you urinate. It will play sounds of water flow, whatever, and you'll be able to relieve yourself.
Unbelievable.
All right.
Unbelievable.
Good times.
Wow, that is something else. All right, so craps.com is the website.
Did I get it in time?
K-R-A-P-E-S. And it's and you're updating it. K-R-A-P-E-S. And you're updating it all the time with the new apps. And, Alex, we appreciate you coming on and tell us about it. Fascinating stuff, dude. Thank you.
Okay, right on, guys. Take care.
All right, bye now.
I don't belong here.
I sure do have a lot of weapons I'd like to unload. I don't know what to do with them, I'll tell you. A lot of guns.
Well, I got great news for you in a moment. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock at 642. Congratulations to Rita Armenta from Los Angeles. She already has her tickets for U2 at the Rose Bowl, ahead of them going on sale Monday at 10. And she's eligible for the grand prize drawing we do to send her to Europe to see U2 in four big countries. By the way, more U2 tickets coming up and tickets to the sold-out Kevin and Bean April Foolishness on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. All right, what about
the LA County Sheriff's Department is trying to get guns off the street in order to encourage people. This morning they announced a Gifts for Guns program.
Leslie, the way it works, you drive up, you hand over your gun, you get a $100 gift card or a $200 gift card if it's an assault rifle. This year, there's an added bonus, a Terminate Violence t-shirt featuring the governor in his most famous movie role.
Terminate Violence, this is the message here. And of course, on the front of the t-shirt, you see
a great image of a very handsome cyborg. I think that all that needs to say is, you know, terminate violence. So it's an extra gift besides the gift certificate.
All right. So you want to unload your guns? You can do that. You get a gift certificate. That's so nice. Let's talk to the governor himself. Good morning, Mr. Schwarzenegger.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
This is a great idea. What? It's hot. It's a hot idea for the guns that they're having or get out of terminate violence.
Right. I understand that's a tie-in to your movie role from 20 years ago, but I can't see a guy sitting around in Compton going, well, I got this assault rifle, but if I give it up, I can get a gift card for Target and a T-shirt.
Yeah, gift card for Target. How funny is it you get a Target gift card for a gun? How great
funny
is that? I thought that on myself.
Now, Arnold, forgive me for my...
Thank you.
What happened?
Someone just dropping off a gun.
Oh, it's loaded?
Yeah.
Might want to take the bullets out. Forgive me for my ignorance, but aren't these some of these weapons illegal?
Yes, many of them.
The assault rifle?
The assault rifles are illegal.
Okay, so you're going to give me a gift card for $200, but aren't you also going to arrest me?
No, this is like an amnesty program.
It is.
Where you give her the guns, and then we just, you know, give you a gift card, and we'll call this one a walk. All right, we'll give you a mulligan on this one. Just to get the guns off the street.
Okay.
Okay. Now, has one person showed... Wow, I guess so. I guess one person has showed up.
Another guy, a drive-thru thing here.
You have a drive-thru.
Or drive-by, whatever you want to call it, with guns.
Okay. You're at the drive-in? And hey, Arnold, do you throw the cards at... Arnold?
That was someone shooting at Bean for that joke.
Wow. All right. And then how do you give them the cards if they drive by and just shoot? What do you do?
Throw them at them.
You throw the cards.
Like a ninja. Like a throwing star.
Okay, I got you.
And stick it in the headboard.
Governor, how happy were you when you realized you could figure out a way to tie in another one of your movie titles to a policy in the state of California, which you seem to love doing?
That was great. It's just awesome to terminate violence. I was going to give everyone a pair of underwear and say, don't go commando.
Wow.
But it didn't make any sense. I also want everyone to know, if you bring me a hand grenade, you get a free foot long from Subway.
Oh, I didn't know. You're looking for hand grenades as well.
50 caliber gets you a bag of cocaine.
Really?
Yeah. And if you can bring me a tank, I'll give you a Hummer filled with Playmates.
Seems reasonable.
That sounds like it'd be worth it.
It's not going to happen. I'm not worried. Nobody has a tank.
Yeah, that's probably a dumb one.
Stupid list.
Probably is, yeah. All right, well, thank you for your time today. You do good work.
Omar, that was a horrible gunshot.
What? Omar's there?
My lieutenant governor, Omar.
Wow, I didn't realize he was your lieutenant governor.
He's not anymore, he's not.
Okay.
What do you think of the judges on Dancing with the Stars?
Why don't you like her? I think she's wonderful.
She gives
Cara DeQuarty.
So we have to listen to while you're listening to The Offspring.
What does she do that bothers you? Why don't you see things my way?
It was American Idol, not Dancing with the Stars. We were talking about at the end of the song there, and I don't know why Ralph hates the new judge so much, because I think she does a really good job on the show.
Hideous.
I'd get rid of Paula in a heartbeat and keep Cara. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that doesn't make her good because Paula's bad, too. That's all I'm saying.
Well, but she happens to be. It would be a win-win, is all I'm saying. We get rid of Paula, then we'd get more time with
Get rid of Horseface, too. Get rid of Horseface and Paula, and then everything be everything.
6:54 of the Kevin Bean Show, Wednesday morning. How about our show with Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Moore, Kevin Nealon, Patton Oswalt, Joe Rogan, Ray Romano, and Jeffrey Ross, plus Sarah Silverman and Cleto and the Cletones? It's happening Friday night at the Gibson Amphitheater. Bar the door, Ralph, because Kevin has the Armenian comedian coming in next, and I suspect that he's trying to put two and two together.
Has
I think
nothing
he's trying to get
that.
Sam on the does bill,
seem
is what it sounds like to me.
Like suspicious timing.
Nothing to do
it
with
does.
It. Just good
like,
old-fashioned entertainment
today. I don't buy it.
That's all it is.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. I'm telling you
don't
what.
Don't be scared.
Got his picture at every entrance, so don't worry about that.
Every
good.
Exit,
right.
too, by the way.
Time for the Showbiz Beat for Wednesday morning. What's Ralph Garman talking about?
Speaking of April Foolishness, I want to give people a heads up. If you'd like to come down early, we're going to be broadcasting our Cinco de la Tarde show Friday, live from the Gibson Amphitheater, right there from the front of the amphitheater where you go in. The gates open at 4:30 in the afternoon. We'll be doing our show from 5 to 6 down there on the front lawn, so we'd love to have you come on by. And also, there's going to be a happy hour on the front lawn there in front of the Gibson Amphitheater until 7 o'clock when the doors open. And then the show will begin at 8 o'clock. So.
We travel with a bar, full bar now.
We like to.
Wherever we go.
It makes life so much easier. So, again, the gates open at 4:30 p.m. If you want to come by Friday, if you've got tickets to April Foolishness and you want to come by early, hang out with us, see us do Cinco de la Tarde, our afternoon show, and then we'll all party, and then we'll go in around 7 o'clock, and the show starts at 8. So
I must say so myself, wildly entertaining to watch us do a radio show.
Nothing's better than watching people do radio.
Because we're talking and all and whatnot.
But usually at some point, I will moon somebody.
That's true.
So you will get to see my ass.
That is true.
If that's a plus. Rather was maybe Lisa a minus.
Lisa would.
Well, she usually shows her...
What? Now?
With the hey-hey? You know, I was talking earlier about the fact that a station in Florida... opted not to show the Osbournes Reloaded last night.
Yeah. Yes.
Citing that its content was not conducive to entertaining their constituents.
Florida?
I like it when people make that decision for others.
Yeah, isn't that spectacular?
That's always good.
And really, when you think about it, other than, like, House, isn't that the entire Fox lineup? How can you be a Fox station if that's what you're going to say?
Good point.
About
yeah.
content, really. Unsuitable and contrary to the public interest is what they called it, the Florida TV station. Well, apparently, it's not an isolated incident. We got this email from Eric, who is...
Eric.
Lisa's doing it now.
...is a listener of ours, but lives in Colorado.
Okay.
He says, I live in Colorado. I was sitting in front of my TV at 8:25, waiting for the Osbournes to start, and 1 second into the beginning of it, my local Fox station switched to a 10-year Columbine tragedy anniversary show.
That's entertaining.
That says is the, BS.
Anniversary, by the way, is not till April 20th. Lame.
Wow.
And the Osbournes was listed on my TV Guide channel, but they opted not to show it.
Wow.
So instead they show a story about some dudes killing people?
Yeah, well,
right?
You know.
Good times.
Violence is acceptable, but
right.
hilarious Osborne comedy, not okay.
What's weird is, and I'd love to find out more specifically what it is they hate about this Osborne show, is it wasn't violent and it wasn't sexual either. It was just sophomoric humor is all it was, right?
Yep.
Pretty much.
It's just stupid. That's why they didn't want it on. It's just dumb.
You start banning TV shows because they're stupid. And there's no end.
Nothing. I just found that inexplicable.
Wow, that is weird. That is weird.
Colorado, they're honked up too, by the way. The only people who are doing this are honked up states. Florida, Colorado, you know Utah's next.
Sure.
Ralph, California has more than its share of people going out and mowing down a bunch of people at one time.
Yeah, but not enough, apparently. We need to up it. We need to get on the stick, people.
Congratulations to the Osbournes, not the Osbournes, the Simpsons. They're getting their own stamp. You know you've arrived when you get your own stamp.
Surprised it took this long.
Homer, Marge, Bart, Lisa, and Maggie will all be on one of the new 44-cent stamps. Since the post office is raising their rates to 44 cents, they're going to flood the market with a whole bunch of new stamps, one of which will include The Simpsons. So congratulations to those guys. I don't know if you watched American Idol last night.
Nope.
That Cara DiGuardi, by the way, is hideous.
You don't like her?
I don't dislike her either.
Yeah, she's hideous. So, I think it was last week she said, I've got 8 words for you. One of the best of the night. It was like 6 words. So last night she goes, oh, I have 3 words for you. That was artistic.
What?
No, that was artistry. Oh, I was like, well, that's the worst slogan I've ever heard. And then she goes, wow, it was like Studio 57 in here tonight. It's like, I think she's referring to Studio 54. Right. That's probably what she was shooting for.
57 was a little later and not quite as good.
I think Hines used to make ketchup at the Studio 57.
Game.
Yeah, she's horrible, and she needs
you
to
know, die. Does it ring a bell being she's Chinese but born in Japan?
I think she's just American, Dale. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
But does that ring a bell?
Apparently, Idol... DialIdol.com that tracks the phone traffic for the voting after American Idol predicts the bottom 3 tonight on the results show will be honked up Megan Joy,
okay,
and Allison and Anoop. So we'll see which one of those gets the boot. So far they've been right on this website, so we'll have to wait and see. And Michael Jackson may be letting his oldest son follow his footsteps into the family business.
What the what?
Word is that Michael is ready to introduce the world to his 12-year-old son, Prince Michael I.
Yes.
While on stage at London's O2 Arena this July.
I suspect they were doing sex with each other.
I don't think that's the case at all.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Seeing that's just his son and all.
Is he going to sing?
I think he's going to bring him out, and he's going to pass the torch to the next generation of Jackson performer.
Oh, no.
I can't believe he's 12 already.
Prince Michael.
It's impossible.
Listen, Michael was younger than that when he got started in the business.
He sure was. He'd had a couple of number one records by the time he was 12.
So Prince Michael I is going to come out and just rock the house.
You guys think, you know, your parents are embarrassing or were embarrassing when you were in high school. Can you imagine being a teenager and Michael Jackson's your father?
You know this kid doesn't want to do it either. He's like, Dad, no. Please. You go sing, bend, go, do it. Or I'll hit you. You and I must make a pact. Horrible. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ali McGraw is 71 years old today. Reggae singer Jimmy Cliff is 61. And Ned O'Toole from Smallville turns 57. And rapper, actor, Method Man is 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Not a word. I don't understand what you're saying, Sam. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Coming up next hour, Kevin thinks he should decide when the police give him a ticket and when they don't.
That's correct.
On his schedule. We'll talk about that, and we'll need some police officers calling in to explain how all that works. Also, Ralph is going head-to-head with the people from Entertainment Weekly who have come up with a list of the top 20 heroes and the top 20 villains of all time. He's very disappointed with their list. Yeah. And according to Ralph, it is not subjective. It is objective, and he can prove that Batman should be higher on their list. So all of that coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Kevin, I'm going to step out for a smoke. I'll just let you and Sam
talk. You don't smoke.
I'm going to start if it'll get me out of this conversation with your next guest.
Let's,
not Lisa's next guest, your next guest.
Let's welcome to the studios of K-Rock, Sam, the Armenian comedian. Come on now.
Woo! Good morning, everybody. How you guys doing?
How are you, Sam?
Excellent.
I'm going to cut right to the chase. Jay Moore pulled out of our show on Friday night, April Foolishness, and we need a headliner, and I would like you to be it.
No. What Kevin means is, do you know anyone really funny that we could get to fill in, Sam? Because clearly it's not going to be you.
We have
high quality. What?
I am, because you know what? Ever since I gave my professional card to you guys, I said I'm going to be one day on the stage with you guys.
Exactly.
You can
but we thought at the time you said you guys, and we didn't know what that meant.
we had no idea what you were talking about.
I'm just saying that we're going to build to a pretty high, you know. We got Joe Rogan, we got Sarah Silverman, we got a lot of great comedians, but
a lot of pros, right?
I think what's missing is that one person to put it over the top,
you know, spice.
Yes, that spice. Yes. Somebody that can bat cleanup and just drive everyone home.
I will say this about Sam. Yeah, this about Sam is he could be the guy to clear out the room. I mean, if the Gibson Amphitheater wants, if they want to get the place cleaned up fast, Sam's the way to empty it out. But is he like Kevin? You go to the wine tastings, don't they give you sorbet or something like that to kind of cleanse your palate in between the various flavors? Is that what Sam's job is? Is just to get the audience somber again so they can start up and start laughing at a new comedian?
Nope. All of the other comedians that we have are garnish. Sam is the main course.
Yeah.
He's the steak, baby.
Sam, how long have you been doing comedy?
Oh, quarter century.
A quarter of a century.
Yes. Why aren't you better at it?
Wow, 25 years.
Yeah, Clown, Mr. Clown.
Mr. Clown has been successful through
Power
the years.
Power Ranger, Barney, Mickey Mouse. And Santa Claus. And
are we just naming characters? What are we doing?
No, these are people that he's been.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Sam puts on costumes and goes to kids' parties.
Oh, yeah.
He's an entertainer, Bean. He can't just rope him into one line of comedy, you know?
Oh, man.
He does it all.
I am a hairstylist, and then every day we have a joke competition in the shop.
Sure.
Every day, me and my boss and my coworker.
And I'll bet you slay them with your jokes.
Oh, they slay me too.
Yeah.
Yes. So I don't know. I get the feeling sometimes that you don't take the stand-up very seriously. Doesn't seem like you really commit very much time and effort to it.
Excuse me, Bean. I'm every Monday doing stand-up at the Comedy Store.
Been doing it regularly,
show. Yeah, regularly. 15 years.
I remember we used to yell at Sam.
Even Jimmy Kimmel knows about me.
Yeah, well, I remember that we used to yell at Sam that he doesn't seem to be working very hard. He has been nose to the grindstone now for a couple of years, Monday nights.
Yeah, so I paid my dues.
That's right. He's paid his dues.
Yes.
And I think Friday night we now have some availability. And
We got a pretty packed lineup. Lisa's right. I mean, just because Jay Moore is gone, I mean, we were overstuffed before.
Now it's a
comfortable length. Now we can breathe a little bit.
What we started thinking was, let's do 20 minutes a comedian. Mm-hmm. And then we thought, well, that's going to go on too long because we have too many comedians. So let's do 15 minutes a comedian.
Uh-huh.
So now we have a little breathing room. And there's room for like 15 minutes of Sam.
No, I think it's really perfect just the way it is. Plus, you want to come out and talk to everyone. And we have a little band that's going to do some stuff in between the comedians.
Play with the band,
Cleto
too?
And the Cleetones.
Yeah.
You want to bring your flute? All right. Sit in with the band.
If you have a drum set, I do a drum solo.
We got a whole band. We got there's a whole band there. Cleto and the Cleetones.
Yeah. Nothing that a crowd likes
put
more than a drum solo.
I have a little sample. Now I'm doing synthesizer, you know?
Oh, yeah. He brought a little Casio synthesizer beam.
Oh, my God. That's got to be 20 years old.
It's 20 years old if it's a day, and it also costs $9.99 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes. Armenian comedian, what makes you think that your brand of comedy can hang with the pros, with guys like Kevin Nealon, who is on Saturday Night Live, with Patton Oswalt, who's a superstar, Joe Rogan, star of TVs and movies? I mean, what makes you think you can compete with guys like that?
Sarah Silverman.
What made you think that Obama president was going to be president?
He seemed like a good politician that was very charismatic.
Hey, listen,
he was also a U.S. senator. I mean, he'd done something. What have you done? What are your credentials to get on this bill? That's my fear.
I am offended on behalf of Sam Bean that you would attack him like this. He is a stand-up comedian. He is a rock star. Remember Metal Man? Remember that?
Unfortunately, I do.
America is dream come true. I traveled all these years, and I've done many things. I paid my dues, and I'm about to break. It's a time to break.
He's honed his craft, Bean. It's time to set this little birdie free.
Yes. A lot of people, right when they get in their mid-60s, is when they start to really
and I got a lot of fans. I got
you do,
a lot
I know.
Of fans.
I know you do.
They love me. They
all
just
right,
love me.
Before we break and before we tell you what's coming up next, K-Rock listeners, how about one joke, Sam, just to give us an idea of what kind of material you would bring to the stage Friday night at the Gibson if you were on the bill?
Hey. All right. Mr. George Bush, Mr. Ex-President,
yes.
He went to Italy. He got thrown out right away. It wasn't the people's fault. It was the geographical view of Italy. It's a booth. They throw him right out the country. You know what? Also in 2008, when he went to Iraq, that same shoe followed him in Iraq.
Thanks for coming. Good night, everybody.
That was the joke.
Glad you had a good time tonight. Thanks for coming and supporting the charity. See you on the radio on Monday.
Okay. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We've got tickets for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness, which is sold out Friday at the Gibson Amphitheater. You've heard the lineup. Please, no Sam the Armenian Comedian. But if you want to go, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We found out that the Armenian Comedian, Kevin, is a student of comedy. There's no joke that he hasn't heard, that he doesn't know. In fact, most jokes he's written. So you can't stump him with a joke. If you've got the setup, he'll give you the punchline.
Sam, would you mind doing that? We have people call up. They give just the setup for the joke. And then you give us the punchline.
Fine.
Okay, fantastic. The Armenian Joke Box is next at 1-800-520-1067. You call, we will give you tickets to the April Foolish News.
And one more thing. How am I going to get there Friday night?
We'll send a limo.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Can I have my friends come over to my house and have a limousine ride with me or whatever?
Yeah, it'll be a standard stretch, you know, an 8-person stretch.
How many people can I fit in the limousine?
8.
Really?
Very excited.
That's former producer Lightning, now running KRock.com's content pages. He was making Sam believe we were sending a car for him to come to the show on Friday night.
No, he was telling him that we are.
You can see the video of that in the Kevin Bean section of KRock.com. It's Kevin Bean TV. By the way, before we give away these tickets, Kevin, the emails are coming in fast and furious about your plan to have Sam play the show Friday night at the Gibson.
Mad love?
Well, it's a wide range of opinions.
Okay.
Tina, for instance, writes in, no, Sam blows. Please don't ruin April Foolishness.
She's
that's
kidding.
Tina.
She's joking.
I mean, that's just her opinion. But then you go up to this other guy who didn't have a name but sent it from his Sprint phone. Are you kidding me? I paid $100 for each ticket. If you have that idiot Sam on the show, I'm putting mine up on Craigslist. And then I'm going to kill you, Kevin.
Right,
so,
I know.
I think you can see there's a wide range of opinions about Sam's appearance.
They're trying to be funny. We get it. Ha ha.
All right. You know? Want to give away some tickets, shall we?
Yeah. By the way, just before we do this, we did just play the new Incubus song. Which
yes.
I had trouble introducing yesterday afternoon as we world premiered it. But that's a great song, and they're going to put out a double CD of their best music.
That's
very excited
cool.
about that.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for the Armenian Joke Box. You call up with the Yes, Sam. Yes.
And I have the intro right now we were recording. It sounds awesome.
I would have played that had you not put your hand up and stopped the progress.
Thanks.
It's time for the Armenian Joke Box, which is where you call up, you give the beginning of a joke, Sam finishes it with a punchline.
I am the Armenian comedian, and I want to tell a joke, and you tell me a joke, and I can box you in the punchline. Yeah! Hey!
Did you say,
I'm the joke box, I'm the mean comedian, I'm the joke box.
I wonder why our show's not more popular, Kevin. All right, here's the deal. Jimmy Kimmel, Kevin Nealon, Patton Oswalt, Joe Rogan, Ray Romano, Jeffrey Ross, Sarah Silverman, and no Armenian comedian. That is the lineup for Friday night. Sold out show. We got tickets in the front row for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness. If you can stump Sam the Joke Box, let's start with Joe in La Habra. He's on line one this morning.
Now, hey, Joe. Sam, I'm not sure you understood because some of that was a little confusing. They're going to tell you the setup to a joke, and then you're going to say the punchline. You're not going to have a joke off where he tells one and then you tell one.
Fine.
Okay. All right. Joe?
Yeah, over here.
What's the beginning of your joke?
All right. What kind of teeth can you buy for a dollar?
Kind of teeth can you buy for a dollar? Sam, what's the punchline to that joke as you know them all?
In 99 cent store, you go in the aisle 8, you find yourself a Halloween costume teeth.
Is that correct, Joe?
No, that's not correct.
What's the answer?
Buck teeth.
Buck teeth.
See, because
Sam, because you spend a dollar. It's a buck.
Yeah.
A little simpler.
Yeah.
All right.
Write his
name down.
Okay. Got it.
You are in the drawing. Congratulations. You may win the tickets. We'll do the drawing in a minute. Chris is in El Monte on line two. Hey, Chris. Thanks for calling. Stump Sam the joke box.
Okay. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning, Chris.
Okay. Why did Bill Clinton seem so preoccupied during his presidency?
Why was Bill Clinton preoccupied during his presidency?
Oh, because Monica Lewinsky, she lost her contact lenses under the desk.
By the way, not funny. About as close to a joke as Sam has ever gotten.
I think you might be right.
At least it was on topic. Chris, is that the answer?
No.
What's the answer?
Okay, the answer is he couldn't get Monica Lewinsky off his head.
Wow.
I
think Sam's punchline
wins.
Yeah. Wow. How about that? I never thought that would happen.
All right.
Chris, don't make up jokes when you call. Give us jokes that somebody else has crafted. Jason is in Victorville on line three. Hey, Jason, you ready to stump Sam the joke box?
I'm totally ready. What's up, guys?
Right. Hello.
What's the beginning of the joke? By the way, just for those of you that are not in the studio with us, which is pretty much all of you, Sam, as soon as they start the joke, you can see Sam, just his eyes light up. He totally, he totally recognizes it. All right, Jason, go ahead.
All right, Sam, what do you get when you cross an elephant with a rhino?
Cross an elephant with a rhino. What do you get?
I don't know. The rhino, I can't picture the rhino, how they look like.
Is that the correct answer, Jason?
So close, but no. Elephino.
Elephino from rhino. You get it? Yeah. All right. That's good. You hold on.
Teresa, La Habra, line four on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Teresa, you live anywhere near the Octomom?
I pass by a cross street on my way to work, but I'm quite a ways away.
All right.
What a mess. All right. Let's hear your joke for Sam.
Okay. What do you call a blonde standing on her head?
What do you call a blonde standing on her head?
A cheerleader?
A cheerleader, Teresa. Is that correct?
No.
No.
A brunette with bad breath.
Okay. See? I'm not going to explain that one to you, Sam. Can't do it.
Oh, boy.
No can do.
Let's try Tracy in Anaheim on line seven. So far, by the way, considering Sam knows every joke ever written, so far he has been stumped by each caller, but maybe his luck will improve. Tracy, hi, you're on the air with the Armenian comedian. Go ahead.
Hi. Okay. What is Moby Dick's father's name?
Dick Mobic?
Yes.
Yes. It is. It's Dick Mobic. A lot of people didn't know that. Tracy, is that correct?
No, it isn't. It's Papa Boner.
Hey!
See? See, because... All right. One more. Dan is in Corona on line six. Hey, Dan, thanks for holding on. You're on with the Armenian comedian, the Sam Joke Box. Go ahead.
Where does bad light end up?
Where does bad light end up?
Oh, in a trashy car?
In a trashy car. Is that the answer, Dan?
Close, but it's a prism.
I got to tell you, I liked Sam's answer better than, I believe, three of those calls.
All right, that's why they're going to see the professionals on stage rather than telling the jokes themselves. Joseph, Chris, Jason, Teresa, Dan, Tracy are all in the running here to win front row seats for Kevin being sold out April Foolishness. Who's our winner, Lisa?
Our winner is Teresa in La Habra.
Yay!
Teresa, congratulations.
Woo!
And thanks for playing the game.
I'm the Dropbox. I'm the Dropbox. I'm the Dropbox. I'm that mean comedian. I'm the Jokebox.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:39. You can stop calling and emailing now. We get the joke. You guys, don't bring Sam to the April Fool's. We get it. That's funny and all.
People are talking about how they'd rather burn their tickets than use him to come into that building if Sam
right.
is there.
And I'm saying I get that. That's funny.
Oh, thank God he's gone. I feel like I just had a colonoscopy. It's such a relief to be out, to have him out of the room. All right, 7:39 of the world-famous K-Rock. Ralph has the showbiz beat in a few minutes. Also, don't forget, Ralph is going to have more tickets for the world premiere of Observe and Report, the new Seth Rogen movie coming up in a little while, too. So stick around for that. First, though, how about the Kevin and Bean Afro line? 323-520-AFRO is the number. You call us, leave a message. We play it back on the air.
We have a lot of great comedians on Friday Night's show.
Yes,
Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. And unfortunately, Jay Moore did have to cancel because of personal family problems with his family back east where he is. So he couldn't make it out. He was very upset by that. And this guy thinks that it's the beginning of bad things.
Okay, a-holes, I get it. One by one, the headliners come off. April Fool's on us. Ha, ha, ha. A-holes.
I swear to you, that's not the case. We're bummed out that Jay can't be there, too. The show will happen Friday night for reals.
For reals.
Yeah.
The real joke is on people who don't show up because they think it's an April Fool's joke.
Oh, that's, don't do that, people.
That's going to be the best. We put up a new service on the K-Rock website where we help you get jobs. Mm-hmm. We're trying to hook you up with employers. It's the Kevin and Bean Give You a Hand job page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm calling about the hand. I just want to know what's the qualification for, do I get them? And I don't know if I could pick someone to get it from.
Doc is next on the list, so feel free to come on down.
Psycho Mike went to the Kevin and Bean Give You a Hand job page, but left strangely dissatisfied.
Yeah, couldn't make it happen. Omar, I guess last week while I was on vacation was yelling at Southwest Airlines stewardesses. Is that correct?
Yes,
yeah,
that is
correct. A flight attendant. There was a very popular video on YouTube for a minute of this flight attendant who rapped the pre-flight instructions, and we all thought it was very entertaining. And you know how boring that those instructions are about what to do with your luggage and stuff like that. We thought it was very entertaining. He just hated the guy.
Omar, you are such an ass. Oh, my God. I can't believe you're freaking dissing as Southwest freaking stewardess for trying to make it fun. Just shut up, Omar. Shut the f*** up.
All right,
good to hear from Perez Hilton.
Stupid Omar. So stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid Omar. What kind of last name is Tan? Go back to the China or Russia or freaking Luxembourg, wherever you're from. Stupid Omar.
He's from China.
Han is a very popular name in Luxembourg.
You know, there is a service called Twitter, and I used to think that it was worthless information out there, but it should be used sometimes instead of a phone call. Maybe things aren't a big enough item to make a phone call over.
Oh.
Perhaps you would just write a tweet about that.
I'm hungover, and I need to doo-doo. At least me.
God. That would be good advice.
Don't call when you're too high.
Hey, thanks a lot for making me almost crash. I was laughing so hard, my eyes were watering. Thought that gold. I forget now. that skit you did about the leopard, bobcat. That's what I mean. Stupid. Stunned. Sorry. Funny.
All right. Have another one.
Bean, you got that sports announcer from Florida?
Randy Moeller, your play-by-play announcer for the Florida Panthers.
And I draw ding-dongs on people!
That's the guy. He has a pop culture reference for every goal they score.
Make me a bicycle clown!
You got someone calling about that?
He shoots his gun! That's right, Dick Gyllenhaal! He's a species flashy sausage!
Want another one?
Sure.
Because on the meadow, he shoots his goal! Now an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bellrea. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bellrea.
Well, so funny. This mother of a small child, not thrilled to hear about Bean's exploits.
Stupid Bean, with your stupid haircuts in different states and your love of numbers. My daughter has Asperger's, and every time you talk about crap like this, I get a little extra special glimpse into what she's going to be like as an adult. I want to kill myself now.
Yeah. First of all, I don't have the Asperger's, but I wish you the very best with your young daughter.
Hey, Ben, I'm looking at a map right now. This is awesome. This is awesome. It's a map.
I do love maps. You know, I went to Idaho to get a haircut this weekend because it was Idaho's turn.
That's a dumb joke.
And it's not a joke. And I got to use the state of Washington map. And then at a certain point, I got to switch over to the state of Idaho map. So I had two different maps in the car. Oh, it was so much fun.
Oh, dear God.
Hey, Mike. It's me, your secret lover, Tommy Lee. Yeah. I'm just wondering if I should wear a dress or a tux to the prom. I'm picking a dress. So when we're sitting at the table, you can my with your feet like in the movies. Yeah. Let me know, sweetie. Oh, by the way. Yeah. Tell Ralph he left his panties at my place. Ripping and shredding all night long. Psycho Mike on Tommy's giant. Yeah. Ripping and shredding. Yeah.
Well done.
Hey.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
I think that worked.
Not
very happy
even.
With that. Very happy with that.
I can tell you
I'd
are.
Do it again if I had a chance right now. 7:53, it's Kevin Abincio on the World Famous K-Rock.
Coming up after the news, by the way, Kevin is going to explain when it is acceptable for the police to give him a ticket.
That's
so
correct.
I'm very, very eager to hear the guidelines
right
that you've laid
one.
Down.
Ooh,
I know you do.
This
Kevin's
is a first.
Right on this one, by the way.
Ralph thinks I'm right.
I know Bean's all Mr. Law and Order.
He is,
he always has
no,
been.
No, not at all.
You know,
not
volunteering
at all,
for his local volunteer police force up there on the
that's
island.
That's not what I'm saying at all. But we'll get into that discussion. Plus, we're going to need some real-life police officers who write tickets. We're going to need your help between 8 and 8:30 as well. So listen up after the news. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday. What's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz news, I want to give everyone a heads up that is planning on attending this Friday's April Foolishness Comedy Festival Lollapalooza.
Extravaganza.
That we're having at the Gibson Amphitheater Friday night. We will be doing our Cinco de la Tarde show live from Gibson Amphitheater on Friday. That means the gates will open at 4:30. Come and join us on the front lawn right in front of the amphitheater. We'll be doing our show live from 5 to 6. And then there's a big happy hour. There'll be bars set up outside the venue where you can get cocktails before the doors open at 7. And then you go in, take your seat, and the show starts at 8. So you can make it a whole afternoon. If you can get off work early, come up and see us do our show. It'll be fun.
Waka waka! Ralph, can I just clarify? So the show starts at 8.
Yes, sir.
And we want people to show up at 4:30.
We don't want people to show up then. Okay. They're welcome to show up then
right.
If they'd like
just
to.
Check it.
I know it's hard for you to believe, Kevin.
Seems like a lot.
And it is for me as well. But there are people who would like to meet us and come up and say hi.
Nope.
And this gives them an opportunity to do that.
And then, you know, they could go do other things at City Walk and then come
sure.
back for the show. There's lots to do up
you're not
there.
Forced to stay there. But if you want to come up and spend some time, we've got a couple hours. There'll be bars set up. You can have a little pre-party before you go see comedy. And by the way,
Nope.com.
Alcohol before a comedy show?
Yes.
Always a good idea.
Always a good idea.
There you go.
Even
okay.
Sam will be funny. If that's the case.
Sam is
not enough alcohol.
He's not going to be on the bill.
What?
You know that, right, Kevin? He's not playing. Sam was not invited, and he is not going to be appearing on the bill. Don't drive anybody else away.
Except he might close the show out, right? He might
right, that's what,
that's
I'm,
what
saying.
I'm saying.
It's a possibility that he'll be the headliner.
Nope.
I'm going to take you back for a moment.
All right.
We're all going to get in the time machine.
Okay.
Do you remember a little phenomenon that swept through the Kevin and Bean show called What Are You Going to Do? Spoon me to death?
Oh,
do you remember that phenomenon?
Ralph,
don't bring
and you
that
started
up.
It, and we all hated you for that.
I didn't start
yes,
it.
Yes, you did.
A listener emailed me and said, you have to help me. We can't figure out where this line is from. What are you going to do? Spoon me to death.
And it took...
And we took phone
6 calls. Months before we realized it wasn't anywhere.
Aha. Uh-huh. Or is it?
You're not bringing that back.
Some people have not given up the search, Kevin.
Well, didn't we find some soft porn movie or something that
it
had that line in
something.
It, Ralph?
Something like that, but it wasn't really. And everyone assumed that was as close as we were ever going to get. That's what it
but
must
have
been the
source.
We spent a
full year on that search.
Yes, Kevin. But now, much like the comedy archaeologist I am.
I'm going to punch you right in the balls.
I have kept digging and kept looking, and I've unearthed what I think to be the true answer.
Are you also perfecting the Macarena in your spare time?
Yes, I am. Here is... an email from listener Morris. I just checked the Facebook group for the What Are You Going to Do? Spoon Me to Death quote.
There is not.
The girl started a Facebook page. I remember her talking about that. And she said, I'm going to keep going until we find out. Thanks for your help, but I'm not giving up the fight. So apparently they've solved it over there. He said someone actually dug something up.
How do you get to that? That Facebook group?
I don't know.
All right.
Apparently it's a slight
transformation of an episode of Aladdin, the TV series. Disney did a an animated series based on the character Aladdin from the popular movie. And Aladdin is warding off some bad guys with a soup ladle. Here is the clip from Aladdin the series featuring Aladdin warding off some evil-looking Arabian-type fellows with a soup ladle.
Let me pass! Or so help me, I'll...
You'll what? Spoon us to death?
Good one, you want it!
He spooned me.
See? We have an answer!
That wasn't...
Oh, that takes me back.
That was not identical.
That was close enough.
Supposed to be a big screen movie. What are you going to do,
well,
spoon me to death?
Someone could have mistaken this for Aladdin, the big movie, if they caught it on television one day. That's what I'm thinking.
Look, if this will close the topic out forever, I'm willing to say good job, Ralph. I'm glad that one solved.
No, Kevin apparently wants to keep looking. He wants to keep searching, apparently. It's not enough for him.
It's a good point. I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
Nice work.
That's what I'm saying.
Glad we found it.
Sacha Baron Cohen's got the new Bruno movie coming out, and apparently he's enlisting some high-profile friends to help him with the film. In the movie, Bruno releases a single called Dove of Peace, which is his version of sort of a Band-Aid, Feed the World kind of multi-superstar single.
Right.
Only it's about fashion and how horrible it is that poor people can't afford high-end fashion to wear. And he has enlisted the likes of Bono, Chris Martin, Madonna, Elton John, Sting, and the Village People all to help him put the single together for
this
movie.
Dude. They're all in the movie with this?
Apparently they're doing a video. They're doing a Feed the World, We Are the World type video for the song Dove of Peace.
That's the best.
Lyrics include things like, for people of Africa who live in hell, they will never wear Chanel. And things of the like. So,
are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
We have that to look forward to in the new Bruno movie, as Bruno is in a quest in the film apparently to become the most famous Austrian since Adolf Hitler, Bruno says. So, good luck with that, Bruno.
Can't wait.
Britney Spears.
Yeah?
Not good.
Not good?
Not good.
I thought she was back. She's tan and toned and fit and healthy?
She's still white trash, though. She's still foul. According to Star Magazine, Britney isn't much of a dog. Excuse me, much of a housekeeper.
That's not a surprise.
Really?
Even in the sky. She's got a Gulfstream jet that she is flying during her tour all over the place. Mm-hmm. And insiders close to Britney say that she is letting her dogs pee and poop all over the jet stream. The Gulfstream, right?
No.
She is not much of a dog owner and just lets them go anywhere they want all over the plane.
Oh, God.
And what's a plane like that cost? It seems like it ought to be treated with a little bit more respect than letting your dog crap on it.
Depending on the kind of Gulfstream she has, I mean, it could be.
It's millions, right?
Yeah, it could be.
That's crazy.
Also scattered about the plane, complains one tour worker, Twinkie and M&M wrappers.
Sounds like my house.
Yeah, it's not much of a surprise.
Why, though. Brittany, why?
Leave her alone! Let Britney's dogs poop!
Britney Spears, what about her?
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Ally McGraw is 71 years old today. Reggae singer Jimmy Cliff celebrates his 61st birthday. Actress Annette O'Toole, who was not only Clark Kent's mom on Smallville over there on the CW for many seasons, but she also played Lana Lang in Superman 2 with Christopher Reeve back in the day.
She was hot.
She was hot. Smoking hot redhead. Big cans. She was Nick Nolte's girlfriend in 48 Hours with Eddie Murphy. Remember that movie?
Giant size cans.
Yeah. She's also married to funny man Michael McKean from Spinal Tap.
Give me more info on her.
That's about as much as I can give you.
No, I hope this keeps going.
She's 57 today.
Okay.
That's my mom, dude.
I don't think so.
Rapper, actor, Method Man celebrates his 38th birthday today. And the Hughes brothers, Albert and Alan, who gave us Menace to Society and Dead Presidents, they're 37. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got a ticket the other day, and it's bogus. It's a bogus ticket. It's not okay. Not okay.
Really?
Well, yeah. No one enjoys getting a ticket. You always wish that it was some other guy and not you.
Right. And most of the time I do deserve tickets, but this particular one's bogus, and I'll tell you why. Went on vacation, parked at the airport.
Okay.
There was not a parking violation. It's not like there was a thing there that I didn't put money in.
You parked in one of those lots where you pay when you leave.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Got a ticket when I got back from vacation because I don't have a front license plate. So that means that there was a cop who was low on the quotas that don't exist.
Or so they say.
And was wandering through the parking lot looking at cars to see if he could find anything wrong with them.
Bad
looking for expired tabs or cars that their windows are too tinted. Whatever he could find, he was writing tickets for. That's like going to a Fish concert to bust people for weed.
Yes. It's ridiculous. It gets a good point. It's like fishing in a stocked swimming pool.
Shooting fish in a barrel.
Come on.
Lots of other fish references.
I mean, honestly, I think if I had parked illegally and then they discovered it, I think I could understand it. But this was the only problem with my car is that it didn't have a front license plate. And they did it while I was on vacation and my car was at the airport.
So you have two complaints. Let's make sure I understand. Your first complaint is that you think a front license plate citation should never be a primary ticket. It should only be in addition to you were speeding or cross a double yellow or something like that. And then while he's got you on that, then he can cite you for the front license plate?
I don't.
Is that part of what you're saying? Is that you don't think it should be a primary violation?
No, I don't think so. I think if they see it while I'm driving, fine. But if I'm in a parking lot and I'm parked legally, and that's the only thing that they have a problem with, then it's bogus.
So you think the airport should be a ticket-free zone?
Unless there's a parking violation. Yes, unless there's a parking violation.
All right. How about
it? Bogus to you?
Well, I understand why you're frustrated by it. I understand why you want to figure out a way that it shouldn't have happened to you. But I'm also trying to figure out what the rules are as to where they're allowed to give you a ticket for something that is a violation, whether you're in a parking lot or driving down the 405 or at home in your driveway. If it's a violation, it's a violation everywhere.
Here's what happens. Officer Smith, you haven't written enough tickets this month. You got to take care of that. All right. I'm going to head over to LAX. And he writes 250 tickets in 15 minutes and then goes home.
Right? Good day's work.
Come on, people.
I will tell you that the state of California is dead broke. And I much prefer taxes and revenue devices that are voluntary like this one. Because if you don't want to contribute that amount of money, there's a way to not do that. There's a way to avoid getting that ticket. But if people are willing to put themselves out there to be, you know, to pay the money so that I don't have to, I'm fine with that too.
I don't understand. How does that relate to me?
What I'm saying is this is an avoidable amount of money that you have to contribute to the state.
Oh,
and I'd rather that they get their money this way by writing 250 tickets in a 15-minute period than raise taxes for everybody that you can't get away from.
They're doing both, as it turns out.
I would like to say that I've never liked you. I would like to put that out there. What do you think of that?
Look, I understand why you feel the way you do. I understand it's the emotional response that you feel. I got a speeding ticket this weekend in the state of Washington, and I'm pissed about it, and I don't think I should have gotten a ticket. I wish I didn't get a ticket. It seems vaguely bogus to me that the guy had a speed trap set up on a place that was 65 for miles and miles and miles, except for 1 2-mile period where it's 55, and that's where I got the ticket for going 65.
I'm not a big fan of that either.
It seems super bogus to me, but I also have to look at it and go, there was a way I could have avoided that, and I really did commit the crime, so I should be willing to do the time. I mean, I really did deserve the ticket. I just wish I hadn't gotten it. I know why you feel that way, but, I mean, that's kind of how they make money.
But they gave it to me in the – what are you missing? They gave it to me in the parking lot.
I understand
that. Well, that's bogus. You were at least driving your car. Yes, it was a speed trap. I get that, and that's frustrating. But it's bogus because you were driving your car.
All right. What if you were in your car, but you were parked on the side of the street and you weren't driving it? Would it be okay for him to give you the ticket then? Like, where is it allowed to give you a ticket for an offense, and where isn't it?
Listen, I'm saying not in a parking lot.
Listen, douchebag.
Which one of us?
Bean.
Okay, good.
What crime are they busting in the parking garage at LAX? So why are the cops patrolling that area looking for all the terrorists?
Because
that are
they're trying to make money.
There?
Because
I'll
they're trying
my
to make money.
Side. Finally,
it's
bogus. If you're parked on the street, at least the cops have business being on the street. If they're driving by and they see you doing something wrong, that's a legitimate bust. But if they're going into just a giant warehouse full of cars to look for registration violations and just pick you and stuff they can slam you with, that is bogus.
Ralph, you may not like it, but it is illegal and legitimate ticket to write wherever your car is. I don't like it either. I'd be pissed if I got that ticket
too.
We're not
saying
it's still an offense.
We're not saying
it's
not legal. We're saying it's bogus.
Right. we're questioning the validity of it. We're saying it's just bogus.
And this guy, by the way, because I was parked head first,
This guy had to literally walk around the car to get between my car and the other guy to see I didn't have a front license plate. It's not like
he had
just
squeeze between the two cars.
He
to
wasn't
check it
just
out.
Driving around in his car. He was on foot, the mother effer.
Well, this is going to make you feel even worse. Let's talk to Jake in Northridge. He's on line four on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's got some information about these LAX kind of tickets. Jake, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You are you're in law enforcement?
Yeah, I'm a county sheriff.
Okay, what do you got on this?
Bogus ticket, right? This is bogus.
It is kind of bogus, but you're kind of going after the wrong sector of law enforcement. You usually what happens in these scenarios is you have meter maids that are specifically paid to go walk through parking lots and walk down streets and look for this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay, we're starting on meter maids. Meter maids should all die of cancer. Are we right? Are we all agreeing on that one? They're horrible people.
They are bad. That's a tough job. I understand.
If I've ever written a front license plate ticket or anything like that, or tinted windows even, it's usually like an a-hole tax. You know, you use it to pull somebody over, and then if they're going to be a real jerk about it.
Right, you tack it on because they're being an a-hole.
Right.
But if I'm not in the car and they're walking, come on now. That's bogus, Jake.
I'm serious. Like, I know, like, in Malibu and those kind of places, you know, they have meter maids specifically, you know, that's their job. They're out there to go look for parked cars that have something wrong with them and tow them or cite them or whatever.
Yeah, to make money. I mean, clearly that's the only reason they're doing it. It doesn't make the world safer or anything like that. It's just a way to raise money. It's voluntary tax is what it is.
I'd like to suggest spend less. And stop doing this a-holery.
All right.
A-holery is
absolutely acceptable.
Yeah, that's the word. All right. Thank you for the call on that, Jake. Just to play devil's advocate here, because I'm not against you, and I understand why you feel. No, I'm not. I'm not against Kevin.
No,
I understand why he thinks it's bogus.
Why should it be a ticket-free zone? It's good.
Well, logically, if it's a violation, it's a violation everywhere. And the argument could be made, yes, you weren't in your car. Yes, your car was parked. But clearly, you drove your car to the airport with no front license plate.
How do they
right?
know it didn't fall off?
How do they know?
Bean's the kind of guy, when he goes hunting, he wants the deer to have their back legs tied together just to make it a little easier. Just to make sure we can shoot them like fish in a barrel.
Or in a swimming pool, in Kevin's case. Either
I
way.
Hate tickets as much as the next guy.
No,
I really
you
do.
Love them,
I
obviously.
Do.
You
I hate, love like tickets. I said, I got a ticket this weekend, Bean's and I a ticket it lover. Too. All right. We want to hear from law enforcement. We want to find out if this is bogus. We want to find out how often this goes on. We want to find out about these quotas. We want to find out about these people whose job it is to write 200 tickets in 15 minutes.
Yeah,
that's what we want to hear.
And
about.
I don't believe. I mean, I really have been told by a lot of people there are no quotas, but I really don't believe that. I think there are quotas, and if you don't write enough speeding tickets, they call you in. You gotta get okay. I'll get out. I'll go to LAX, and you're done for the month. You don't have to write any more tickets. It's bogus.
The
LAX parking lot is like an internment camp for cars. it's like when they used to round the Japanese up during World War II and just put them in a camp.
And the cops just go in there and kick them and walk back out.
That's right. Just unfair. It's just against human rights or auto rights in this case.
1-800-520-1067. Your calls on any aspect of this topic when we return on the world famous K-Rock. So you get back from vacation, you head out to your car, you're finally home. Oh, sweet California, so nice to be here. Wait a minute, what's that on my windshield? And somebody left you a ticket in the parking lot at LAX while you were gone.
Yeah, that seems bogus to me.
That's not the way you want to come home, I'll tell you that. That's not the first thing you want to see when your feet hit the ground. Just for my curiosity's sake, have you checked in your back seat for your front license plate? Is it possible it's back there? That's where everything goes to die in Kevin's life.
It is not possible to find anything in my back seat. That is true.
Kevin loses suits, he loses wedding rings, he loses key cards to get into the building. Now parts of his car are missing and he doesn't know where they are.
Yeah, the backseat eats things, I think. I'm pretty sure that happens. All right, let's take some calls here on this bogus ticket. Let's start with Larry in Los Angeles. Good morning, Larry.
Hi.
Hi there. Bogus ticket, bogus parking ticket, correct?
Well, not really, because it's part of the lot, the city lot, and the officers... airport police officers are assigned to patrol the lots.
Right.
So therefore, since it's a city lot enforced by city people who aren't, okay. That's one of the sites I want to look for.
It sounds like you're reading from a manual. just talk to me from your heart, though, Lair. That is BS. It's a BS ticket. Right? I mean,
I would not be happy either because I don't have front plates on my car, but hey.
Oh, hey, how about that?
But
guys, what's the deal with not having
street.
What's the deal with not having front plates, by the way? They issue two plates to you in California,
yes.
Right? Well, where's your license plate?
Where's yours, Larry?
Mine is in my truck.
in your truck. Okay.
Why don't you have it on your car, I guess is my question.
Because I never find a good place because most of the other vehicles have it knocked off. The spot for it is really low, and it bends underneath the vehicle.
Right, me too. I'm with that.
Kevin, what is your real reason? You're being awfully dodgy about this.
My real reason is that when I do a drive-by, I can back away and they can't identify me. I don't know where it is.
I don't know where it is. Yeah. All right, let's try this. Jeremy is in Santa Clarita. He's on line 7. He may have a way out. What's the fine for this fix-it ticket, Kevin? What are they asking for?
It looks like $25, but then it says amount may increase if not first violation.
Okay.
Oh, really?
And this may not. It's possible that this isn't
okay.
My first violation.
Jeremy, you had the same ticket. What did you do about it?
Yeah, good morning, party people. I got the same ticket, the parking the same way at the LAX first of the year.
Yes.
And they said that they treat the fix-it violations as private property, meaning that they can't just walk up to your car and hand you a ticket for tinted windows, front license plate, or mud flaps on these big trucks.
Really?
So you got dropped?
Bogus. Like Ralph said, all I did is I wrote in a simple letter to the judge, and she dismissed it within 3 weeks.
All right. Now, Jeremy, it's interesting you should say that, because I got this email from Steve, and here's what he says. The California Vehicle Code, with very few exceptions, does not apply to private property. So the question is, Kevin, did you park in the city-owned LAX parking lot, which is probably subject to the vehicle code, or in one of the private lots around the airport, like Wally Park? If it was a private lot, you cannot be ticketed for front plate or almost any other violation. Cops will patrol these lots looking for auto burglars, but not to write tickets. Do you remember which lot you were in?
I parked wherever it will get me out of the ticket. No, I didn't. Well, I think I parked at an LAX lot, I think.
Oh, darn. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But wait a minute. You got a ticket in the LAX lot?
I got a ticket in the LAX parking lot.
Okay.
Correct?
All right. And the judge dismissed it.
And I did the same thing, step by step like you. I parked in head first and just got lucky when I came back from vacation.
All right.
Well,
good times.
How come the judge dismissed it then if you were on a city lot?
They can't hand out fix-it tickets if you're not present.
Really?
Okay. See, now we're getting
just figure.
Like I said, they can't walk up to a car if nobody's in it and just write you a tinted window ticket if you're not there.
All right. You're going to have to get a copy of the vehicle code, Kevin, and research this so you've got something that you can
No, that's what I'm known for. Going through the vehicle code.
That's what I'm good at.
All right. Thank you for the call on that, Jeremy, or Jeremy, as it says here. Thank you, Cleo. Let's try Carl in Monrovia. Had a similar situation with the same ticket also, and it did not go as well for Carl. Hey, Carl, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Did you get out of your fix-it ticket as well?
Nope, and I forgot about the ticket, and then got a letter in the mail with a $700 fine.
Oh.
Oh, no.
So the last guy wrote a letter to the judge. You just didn't do anything?
No. I went, ended up having to go to court in Santa Monica, where they handled it, and the judge said, for those who are coming in for front license plate tickets, when you come up, just say guilty, and you'll get a $70 fine.
Okay.
Well, it's already a $25 ticket. Why would he want a $70 fine if he goes to court?
Well, you can't. There's no way out of it. I was driving. And it's not a fix-it ticket.
It isn't?
No. They wouldn't give it as a fix-it ticket. The cops, they sit there between Terminal 1 and Terminal 2 on the motorcycles waiting for people like us.
Oh, I see. Didn't he follow us into the parking lot?
No.
It's a sinister plot. Huh?
No, they grab you straight away.
Oh, they grab you straight away.
If you look, when you're driving to LAX between Terminal 1 and Terminal 2, they're usually on the motorcycles.
I got you.
And they'll just grab you right then.
All right.
Now, Kevin is an American, though, so that should have helped him. That doesn't help you, but I mean. All right, Carl. Let's take one more call because this is bad. We brought up the question of quotas. Is that all this is just, all right, go out there and find us some money. Write some tickets so we can get paid. Ben, Santa Clarita, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm LAPD. LAPD and the Sheriff's Department, just so you know, they don't have quotas, but our lovely CHP does, which is why you see them writing tickets constantly and writing tickets when they're not even pulling people over.
Okay, so who would have written this ticket to Kevin? Which law enforcement agency?
Unfortunately, it's not CHP because you're in a lot. It sounds like a parking, like a meter maid got you, but the thing about it is it's not a moving violation, so it doesn't even go on your record or anything. It's a pain, and it's kind of just, to me, it's embarrassing.
But it's bogus. But
I completely agree with you. But I heard a guy earlier, if you write a letter, the judge will not uphold that fine. Especially unless you have, like, you know, when they look at your record, if you have, like, DUIs and everything like
that. I do not.
Then you're fine. You'll be out of this just fine. Just write the letter. It takes, like, 5 minutes.
I have 3 or 4 murders. I can't remember which, but I don't have any of those. I don't have any DUIs. All right. Thank you for the call. Bean, I think it's payback time. You remember when you got a ticket for jaywalking?
And, yes, I certainly do.
And I went to court with you and represented you in court, and we pled insanity?
And we almost got decided for contempt, and both of us almost ended up in jail that day? Yes, I do remember that.
Payback is a bitch. I want you to be my lawyer. I want you to go to court with me. We're going to plead insanity.
But your defense is, but it's bogus. That's your whole defense.
That's my whole defense. Now, when we go into court, I'm going to act all crazy, and I'm going to have foam coming out of my mouth and a nervous tick.
And lightning can film it. It'll be great.
Judges love that kind of thing.
106.7. Stop being bad is all I'm asking.
It's not possible.
For 10 years, I've been begging.
It's KROQ, the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:43. That's what she said.
It's too late for that.
Mike just almost put his eye out, putting his headphones on. You are all horrible people.
That's correct.
The only thing you're not as horrible as, Entertainment Weekly.
Wow.
No. The only thing you're not as bad as.
I love the Entertainment Weekly and have read every issue cover to cover since the first one. I can't skip. I can't miss an issue. That's how much I love Entertainment Weekly. But you now suddenly have put out a fatwa on him. Why do you hate EW all of a sudden, Ralph?
Because attention must be paid and because they have crossed the line and now it's on.
Ralph is a sci-fi geek. And,
how dare you, sir?
Parading as a normal person. And this,
I am an enthusiast for fantasy, comic book, and science fiction entertainment.
Sure, if that's what you want to say.
Hardly I would call myself a geek, though.
Totally what I would say is all of us were shocked that you were able to find a woman to marry. That's basically what we're saying. So Entertainment Weekly came out with their list. In fact, it's the current cover story, I believe, of the top 20 heroes of all time in movies and television, characters, books, and the top 20 villains. And you have a specific complaint about the list of the top 20 heroes. Am I right, Ralph?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of problems with both of these lists. But first and foremost, number 18 on a list of 20 for all-time heroes.
Yes.
We're talking all-time here.
Right.
Number 18, Batman, the Caped Crusader. 18th on a list.
Ralph, it's your lucky day. We have the assistant managing editor for Entertainment Weekly on the phone, Dalton Ross.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Dalton.
Hello.
Dalton Ross, what the hell's going on over there with your little magazine?
It sounds like there's some geeking out going out over there.
There certainly is.
Listen, you don't have to be a geek to know that Batman is better than 18th on a list of 20 when it comes to all-time heroes.
Well, you know, I can also take it one step further. It'll probably enrage you even more. The person right ahead of Batman is Nancy Drew.
I'm very familiar with that, Dalton. That was going to be one of the points I brought up. That Nancy freaking Drew, who hasn't been relevant since...
you were a little girl.
Since Elvis was in the army.
But, you know, Nancy Drew has the ultimate secret weapon of precociousness. She's just,
now he's just mocking
you,
Ralph.
If you're not going to take it seriously, then neither will I. That's fine.
But Dalton, look, here's the thing. When you talk about heroes, and we had this discussion yesterday, believe me, we've been hearing about it from Ralph since the minute he saw your issue. In the event of an actual emergency where the world needs to be saved, are you really going to Nancy Drew ahead of the Dark Knight to get the job done? That's really the bottom line.
Sure, if that's the way you're going to define it. I mean, what we try to do is define heroes in obviously a broader sense. What we were worried about...
Like, who would you least go to help you in a situation like that?
Who looks best in an Angora sweater?
Who is heroic in their own way? What we didn't want this list to be is, like, look, all good big dudes with guns and capes. Like, it would have been pretty easy and basic to do that, but, you know, we wanted, you know, heroes are... You can't, you know, that's too clearly easily boxing them in too much. We try to expand it out, and then, you know, that caused some really geeked out arguments here. You think Ralph is geeking out. You should see the staff of Entertainment Weekly.
They should have.
Well, Dalton, your top three in the heroes, James Bond, Indiana Jones, and Superman. Yeah, you really are going outside the box when it comes to heroes on this list.
That's, you know, you can't deny that those guys are great. And actually, a lot of people, like, didn't really get the Bond thing. I thought Bond made clear sense as one, but a lot of people sort of didn't get that. But he sort of defined action films in a... You know, it all sort of comes from him.
In the top 10, you also have John McClane. You have from the Die Hard, you have Han Solo. You have Buffy the Vampire Slayer, who we love.
Yeah.
And I don't think Ralph has a problem with any of those being on the list, right, Ralph?
It's not just at all.
The order is all you're basing.
Robin Hood is 9.
Robin Hood's 9. Yeah.
There hasn't been a good Robin Hood movie since 1939, Dalton.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner played Robin Hood, Dalton.
You know what? We deducted some points for the whole Costner thing.
And that moved him to 9, where Batman's at 18th?
He's stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. What's not to love? Oh. Especially in these times.
He's wearing tights.
We need Robin Hood now more than ever,
he
do we not?
He frolicked in the forest with a bunch of dudes.
I'm sorry.
With long staffs.
Well, you know, the interesting debate, though, getting back to Batman, because this was thought a lot about, was Batman versus Spider-Man. I mean, that was really the big question. We knew those were going to be our three big comic book superhero guys.
But you got Spider-Man at 10, and you have Batman at 18.
Yeah, we put Spider-Man at 10. We sort of, Spider-Man, when Spider-Man came out, was really sort of a reaction to some of the DC comics, as I'm sure Ralph knows. And it
right.
was more of like, yeah. you know, the everyman kid, the every kid, and he's got all these problems, he's getting bullied. And
right.
And pretty revolutionary in that sense. And I'll tell you about Batman.
But let me ask you, hang on, let me just ask you one last question about Spider-Man, and that is, yep. does that include emo Spider-Man from the last one? Because that was pretty
We did, you know, lame. In this list, we did often put their least heroic move, and we did put the emo
okay.
loop prompted strut. That was pretty
still
bad.
At number 10, though. Still hanging
you know,
in there.
Still
number
cracked
two.
The top 10.
Okay.
You know, I bet if this you know list was made a few years ago on our readers' poll, Spider-Man did not crack the top 10. If it made a few years ago, I think it would have. And Batman was number 2, right after
all right.
Superman.
Let me ask you this, Dalton, because I did have a couple questions about some of the other people in your top 20, specifically Foxy Brown, who, let's face it, made some, you know, the character was entertaining in some Pam Grier movies back in the 1970s, but it almost looks like she's on this list just because you needed another woman and, hey, let's throw something out for the blacks. I mean, really, is she really more heroic than Batman?
I'm sure that's how it came up in the meeting, too.
Hey, forget about that. No, have you seen the picture of her in that issue? That's
oh, yeah. Believe me, she's hot. A beautiful woman.
Hey,
yeah.
How about another list? The black chicks with big cans. You can put her on that list. And make a little more room for Batman on the heroes list.
You could do hot heroes as
Foxy
well.
Foxy Brown's looking foxy, but Foxy Brown's not that different from Dirty Harry. I mean, would you say that Dirty Harry doesn't belong on the list?
Well, neither is Dolomite, but I don't see him. You see him on the list. I don't see Superfly or Shaft on the list either.
Dolomite 2, The Human Tornado, is one of the most underappreciated movies ever. Let me say that. But Foxy Brown is very much like Dirty Harry. You know, we don't have Bronson on here, but a lot of people could have said, you know, put Bronson on. The whole vigilante justice, those are seen as heroic characters also. So I'm going to stand behind
Foxy. I'm saying Foxy Brown at 13 and Batman at 17 or 18 is
yeah.
complete and total objective bogusness.
Yeah,
that's not even a subjective call.
You know, I think, I don't think it's different people have different heroes, and obviously the geek set's going to all want, and trust me, I'm a geek. I'm the guy that went and saw Krull 10 times in the 80s. I mean,
wow.
But, you know,
you're messed up.
You could just have Batman, Superman, and all those guys in the top five, but,
and
you know,
should.
There's different kinds of heroes.
Listen, you got the Joker, Batman's arch nemesis, at 4 on your all-time villain list.
Yeah,
if the villain is at 4, how does the hero he battle at 18?
Easy answer to that. The Dark Knight was the Joker's film. That was not Batman's film. Ralph, you got to back me up on that. Come on.
But I would like to think that the Dark Knight had a significant role for the Dark Knight in that film, entitled The Dark Knight. And Batman Begins, and all the Burton films, and then the 1960s TV series pretty much saved superhero comic books single-handedly, the Adam West series.
True, but I still think that in all those incarnations that the Joker character, even Cesar Romero with his mustache taped over, was the more electric character than Adam West.
Oh, you're mentally deficient. Right. You're insane.
Let's try and zero.
I tell you about the nipple suit.
We're running out of time, but let's try and focus on one thing then. Batman 18, Nancy Drew 17. Admit that is just dumb. Just, I want you to say that was a dumb mistake on our part.
I think it was a controversial call.
Say it! The Hardy Boys aren't even listed, by the way, and Nancy Drew's on there.
We had to deduct for Sean Cassidy. Sean Cassidy dropped the Hardy Boys out of the top 20, let's be honest.
By the way, that's a good choice, but they shouldn't have been in the top 20 to begin with.
Well, let me ask you about the villains list. We haven't talked about the villains list. I'm curious what you guys thought of. We had the Wicked Witch of the West at number 1. A lot of people didn't like that.
That's a cutesy call to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just a, hey, let's inflame
but it's
people.
It's defendable because it's sort been around of. For so long.
But Darth Vader is number 2. How's Darth Vader?
I see them right up there, 1 and 2.
Yeah,
I
do,
too.
The Wicked Witch gave me nightmares as a kid. I mean, she really did.
And the Wicked Witch, just like Darth Vader, by the way, continues to scare the bejesus out of little kids even today. I mean, there are people today who are going to see the Wicked Witch for the first time and be terrified. It does hold up, that performance.
Yeah, I think so. And Vader might have been, you know, I bet Vader would have been number 1 if those new movies hadn't come out.
Took the shine off it a little bit.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
So you're standing by your heroes list. You're saying Kevin and Bean, the heroes list at Entertainment Weekly is right on, and we are standing by it.
So you got
you know that we're always
You got
right.
Batman surrounded by Nancy Drew on one side and Atticus Finch on the other.
You know, Finch, I'll tell you something interesting. AFI did their heroes list. Atticus Finch, number 1.
Yeah, well, he's the only guy on there who wins for moral victories on your list. Why don't you have Gandhi on the list while you're at it, if you're, that's how you're going?
We actually kept all real, you know, that's an interesting question, too. What do you do with Oscar Schindler and Gandhi? We kept any real people off the list.
Well, first of all, Batman is real.
There is that.
That is true.
And right. I expect an apology in the next issue.
A retraction.
A retraction as well.
I think Batman is Real is all you need to know about why this conversation is even taking place today. Dalton Ross, Entertainment Weekly's assistant managing editor. The copy of the magazine that we're discussing is on newsstands now. Dalton, thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Thank you, bud. Coming up this afternoon on the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde, by the way, things that you should not have sex with.
Oh, okay.
We have an exhaustive list.
I'm sure there's a lot of stuff.
Dave.
Dave. That's one.
Yeah. The King of Mexico is number one. All right, 8:56 time for the Ralph Showbizby. What's going on, Ralph?
Speaking of Cinco de la Tarde, this Friday, of course, we're doing our big April Foolishness comedy show at the Gibson Amphitheater up at Universal Studios. If you'd like to come by and see us do our Cinco show live, we will be doing it on the front lawn, just out front of the Gibson Amphitheater. The gates open at 4:30, so you can come on by and see us do our show. We'll also have open bars there as well for our happy hour leading up to 7 o'clock when the doors open at the Gibson, and then the show starts at 8 o'clock. If you have tickets for April Foolishness, come on out and see us on Friday, won't you?
It's going to be a good show.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I've got tickets to give away to the world premiere of Observe and Report. This looks funny.
This does look funny.
Seth Rogen stars as a mall cop, but this time it's a funny mall cop. Oh. See, it's a comedy. April the 6th is the date at the Grauman's Chinese Theater. I've got five pairs of tickets right now to the first five callers. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers get a pair of tickets for the world premiere of Observe and Report. And ask Cleo when she answers how to spell observe.
Yes.
Funny. She gets a kick out of that when you give her a spelling quiz.
She'll rattle it right off.
Oh, yeah.
Or and, for that matter.
How dare you, sir. Osborne Gate continues. We've been following it all morning.
Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, that's what I'm calling it.
All right.
Looks sounds better when you put a gate behind anything and you're talking about the news.
Sure.
It turns out that six Fox television stations refused to air the Osborne's Family Variety Special last night after American Idol. 10 additional stations moved it out of primetime into the wee hours of the morning as late as 1:35 a.m.
You know what's weird about this story, Ralph, is a lot of times if there's going to be a controversial program, like when Moment of Truth was coming on Fox last year, for instance, you hear about it leading up to. There's a discussion and a debate about what the show is all about. Yep. I never heard anyone suggesting that something like this was coming.
No, me neither. By all accounts, it's just sort of a goofy, dumb show.
Right.
Remember Married by America, whatever that was? Fox did it.
Yes,
this couple was going to get married because America voted on it. And people went ballistic saying it was an insult to the institution of marriage and it's evil and they were protests. This no one complained about, but Fox affiliates all over the country just effed with it.
These people know it's Fox, right?
I mean, how high are their standards?
Really,
for Fox?
I mean,
apparently the hitch seems to be the fact that it was following American Idol, which Fox naturally did because they wanted the biggest possible lead in for a new show to try to promote it.
They should tell their stations that.
David Cavalier, who's the general manager of Fox's Panama City, Florida station, this is one of the people who canceled the show, said, if you look at the audience for American Idol, you see all those kids. It didn't seem like the proper thing for me to do.
He runs a Fox station, right?
In Panama City, by the way, which is like show me your cans capital of the world.
Yeah, no kidding.
At spring break, there's just nothing but areola as far as the eye can see. So maybe Panama City has bigger problems.
Douchebag. Nothing but areola, by the way, is opening Coachella.
Yeah, very good. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Ally McGraw, she is 71 years old today. She at one time was a big, big movie star.
Yeah, a beautiful woman in her day, too.
Yeah.
Can't picture her.
Did you ever see Love Story?
Nope.
Okay.
Nothing coming.
I'm out.
Nothing.
Jimmy Cliff, you know him, reggae singer Jimmy Cliff, Kevin?
Another name. No pictures.
Okay.
Yeah.
61 years
Pictureless
old today. Method Man. Familiar with him?
Absolutely.
Rapid actor Method Man?
Him I know.
38 years old today, and actress Annette O'Toole, who was Clark's mom on Smallville for many seasons. She was also a talented actress in her own right. 48 Hours she was in. She was in Superman 2, played Lana Lang in that. Beautiful redheaded actress, married to Michael McKean, who played Lenny of Lenny and Squiggy on The Vernon Show.
Got no pictures today. Nothing.
Nothing
for
Annette O'Toole,
coming to my mind. Not a thing.
She's 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
So it's Wednesday afternoon now, which means 48 hours from right now, we're going to be broadcasting live from out in front of the Gibson Amphitheater. Yes, we are taking Cinco de la Tarde on the road for the first time ever. And if you're lucky enough to have tickets for our sold-out Kevin and Bean first annual April Foolishness show, doors are opening at 4:30. You can come on out and watch us do the Cinco show from 5 until 6. And then I guess we got some sort of a happy hour. You're going to be able to drink till you're blottoed when the doors open at 7. And then the first comedian takes the stage at 8. So it's going to be a tremendous night. And you know what? It's funny, Kevin, because we've been talking so much about the comedy. With your Jimmy Kimmel and your Kevin Nealon, your Patton Oswalt, your Joe Rogan, your Ray Romano, Jeffrey Ross, Sarah Silverman. Let's not overlook, we got the best darn house band from the world of television on the bill that night, too. Cleto and the Cletones are going to be there. And Cleto's on the phone with us right now this afternoon on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Cleto.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
How you been, man?
I've been really good. How about you?
Well, I got to tell you, we want to thank especially you and Jimmy, because when we first came up with this idea, we sent out some feelers, and Jimmy responded immediately that he was in. And I don't know if he asked you or not, but that you were in as well.
Yeah, he asked me, and I was very glad to do it.
And then we were able to go to, you know, all the other comedians and go, hey, we got Jimmy Kimmel, we got Cleto and the Cletones band. Everybody's like, hey, all right, let's do it.
Absolutely.
Right, cool.
Is Jimmy the kind of boss who just tells you what you're doing? I mean, he doesn't really ask as much. Is he a taskmaster, Cleto?
You know, he's good at, like, just mentioning that, hey, this would be great if we did this.
Yeah.
Like, right on, let's do it.
But see, Cleto has known Jimmy since he was 2 or something, right?
About 10.
Yeah, so I can't imagine that he's your boss, really.
Well, I mean, you know, you have to respect the working situation.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty cool to have your best pal as a boss.
Yeah. This is so interesting. Cleto has such an interesting life because, I mean, you've been a musician since you, I mean, because you come from a musical family, so you've been playing a bunch of instruments since you were a little kid. And was the plan always to be a professional musician? That was. Did you ever have a plan B of what you were going to do if you didn't make it in this business?
For about 7 minutes, I went to college and I was a political science major, and I was a really crappy student, so
wow.
I went back to the plan A.
Better.
Yeah.
Toured with Paula Abdul, toured with Mark Anthony, toured with Earth, Wind, and Fire, toured with Philip Bailey.
Wow.
Yeah.
You put out your own album at one point, too, didn't you, Cleto?
Yeah, in 94 I had a record out on Virgin.
I thought so.
Why did you chuckle right there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it went balsa wood. It was good.
All right, so your childhood best friend Jimmy Kimmel gets a TV show, and no one deserves it more than Jimmy because he's great and his show is great. And obviously yours was the first call he made was, hey, how about being the house band? Now, was that something that was instantly attractive to you to do this kind of work for a living full time?
Instantly attractive. Yeah, I'd been on the road for a while and you know, bouncing up and down. I was doing all right, but you know, this is a dream job. You know, so when he called that he got the show, I was like, well, hell yeah.
Does your dad force his way into your band every night, or do you?
Actually, you know, it's funny when I kind of had an intact band, you know, doing other things and you know what have you, and then Jimmy just mentioned, hey man, how about your dad? Because my dad was still working at Caesar's Palace in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we called him up and signed him up, and here we are.
Was there any kind of pushback from the network to, hey, how about a name or, you know, something like that? But did they just automatically trust that Jimmy was going to bring his friends along?
I don't know how much Jimmy probably sheltered me from that, if there was any. But we had to we auditioned for the then president, Lloyd Braun, you know, at a club here in town, just to make sure that, you know, Jimmy's childhood pal wasn't some marching band yahoo, you know.
So. Anybody that knows Jimmy knows you get his entire family.
Yes, right. You do.
You get his friends.
Right.
You
yep,
get
right.
They all come with Jimmy. It's a package deal.
The whole package, is right.
Now, I'm not just saying this because you're on the phone and because you're playing the show Friday night, Cleto, but we've said this on the air many times before. There have been a lot of great late-night TV bands. Paul Schaefer on The Letterman Show, for instance, he runs a great band.
Yeah.
I think your band is the best of all of them, and I'm including The Roots over on Fallon Show. I mean, I think you guys are so tight. You play so many different kinds of music. I'm always amazed. I saw you singing Steely Dan's Black Friday on the show the other night, and I thought, it's just so random, the stuff that you guys play. It must be so much fun as a musician to not have to play the same stuff all the time.
Yeah, it is great. We have a lot of fun, and I'm very flattered by your comments.
I'd like to make a request, if you don't mind, and that is Ween Pushing Little Daisies.
All right, we'll look that up.
Work that one up for Jimmy's show.
Okay.
Before we go with Cleto, and by the way, if you want to see Cleto and the Cletones at the Gibson Amphitheater with the All-Star Night of Comedy, we have a pair of tickets we can give away right now to caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067. That's a pretty good deal because the show is sold out. You can win those tickets. You get a chance to jam with a lot of the musical guests, a lot of the singers that you have on the show. Any memorable events for you that were either personally you couldn't believe you got to play with that person or just went horribly wrong or anything else come to mind?
There's a lot of great ones. We've done from, you know, Air Supply to... We just had Charlie Wilson on, who was awesome, actually, from the Gap Band.
From the Gap Band, yeah.
He was really, really fun, and that was really fun. I mean, for me personally, like, we got to play with Michael McDonald, one of my childhood favorites, Lou Rawls, and, you know, George Benson, one of Jimmy and I's favorites when we were kids. And there's just been a bunch. I'm forgetting them right now.
Jimmy has Les That's Claypool really on tonight. Is he going to?
What's that?
Is Les Claypool going to play with you?
Yeah, he's not going to play with us. He's on tonight. He's going to, I think, be in the lobby.
Okay.
but that, I mean, that is so cool, though. I mean, if you grew up, I mean, George Benson was your guy, but you grew up idolizing this dude, and now you're like an equal. You're playing on a TV show with him as his band. I mean, that's just got to be, just got to blow your mind every night when you head down
there.
Yeah,
that is crazy. It does, I kind of go like, wow, I can't, what am I doing here?
Yeah. Well, it's a great show. Jimmy Kimmel Live is the best of all the late night shows. You know, we Thanks love Jimmy. So we love the work you do. Amy Poehler is a guest tonight. Jordana Brewster from the new Fast and the Furious. And as Kevin mentioned, Les Claypool is going to be on the bill. And I guess you guys are even adjusting your schedule. You're taping early on Friday so you can
yes,
get over
are.
To Gibson and jam with us all night. And it's so cool of you, Cleta. We really appreciate it, man.
Thanks for doing this, guys. My mom's a survivor, so
I
jumped to the opportunity to be able to do this.
The charity is Boarding for Breast Cancer at b4bc.org, and that's where the proceeds go. Cleta, you're
right
the
on.
Best.
We'll see you Friday, dude.
All right, see you Friday. Thanks
Thank
so
you,
much, guys.
Bye now. So, I'm hanging out with Bono the other day.
Oh, shut up.
And
you do love to rub that in,
every
don't you?
Day.
Just chatting about stuff, you know, things, stuff.
Right.
And he was opening up a lot to me about his personal life and things like that. And we started
He walked by you, didn't he?
Okay,
that's
I was
what
in the same room as him. That's correct.
Right.
But he was talking to somebody else about the fact that they figured out a way to tour so that they could do it in the middle of, in this case, the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody will be kind of equidistant from the band. And
yeah, 20 miles. You'll be 20 miles from the band, the same as the guy next to you.
But they've figured out a way to do it in a 360-degree arena. So,
wow.
Sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, definitely.
I wish he'd said
it
to me, but he didn't.
But you were eavesdropping, right? Mm-hmm. October 25th is the date. Tickets are going on sale Monday morning at 10 o'clock. But keep listening to K-Rock all this week to win your U2 tickets. And you're qualified for the grand prize drawing for something we'll do Friday morning on our morning show, where we give away the trip to see them in 4 countries in Europe. U2 in Ireland, in the Netherlands, in Germany, and in France. So your chance to win coming up in just a few minutes here on the world-famous K-Rock.
Right now it's time for the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Today we have 3 nominees for the Citizen of the Day, all in the category of sex.
Oh, interesting.
All right. The police say that a man called 911 for suspicious activity at a car wash the other day, and a dude supposedly was having sex with the car wash vacuum.
Because the one at home wasn't strong enough.
The police showed up. Have you seen how strong those vacuums are?
I have not, actually.
It really seems like it would pull things right off.
Oh, no.
I would be scared to get anywhere near it.
Oh, God.
So apparently the police showed up, still there, still hooked to the vacuum.
Wow. Well, maybe he couldn't unhook from the vacuum.
And he pleaded no contest to indecent exposure. And for some reason, and it doesn't say here, it must be a prior offense or something, got 90 days in jail.
Oh.
I don't think you get 90 days in jail for that, but you do get your penis ripped right off.
Oh, God.
So that's the first one.
I'm satisfied with just the wash and the wax when I go down to my car wash. I don't need the vacuuming.
Story number 2, a woman in Belgrade, Serbia, is recovering after undergoing a painful 2-hour operation to remove a giant pine cone
from,
well, I'll say this. According to the London Sun, the woman got, quote, steamy with the item.
Oh,
good morning, vagina.
Surgeons reportedly said that the woman was, quote, a lonely spinster.
Oh.
So a pine cone.
Oh, that's so
Lisa,
sad.
Are there any circumstances you can imagine where a pine cone would be in the top 100 list of items in your view that you would use?
Not a single one. Just never, ever, no. No.
And along that line, a dude in Singapore apparently was trying to have sex with a beer bottle.
Oh, ouch. That sounds like problems.
Mike and I might have seen something like that.
I can't imagine even getting close to fitting, let's be honest. Beer bottle, like, tiny. It's like a pencil. You know what I mean?
Where's he from?
How does that? Singapore.
Well.
Singapore. Oh, there you go.
Apparently, his genitals got stuck in the beer bottle. And and it took him a while, but he couldn't figure out how to get it off because it started swelling, of course.
Yes.
Of course.
So he went to the hospital, and they cut off part of the bottle. And then he got some kind of a more inflammation, and he got sick from it. And the 77-year-old man died from
it. Oh, my God.
77 years old, hasn't learned not to f*** a beer bottle.
Oh!
God. You know what I mean? 77! Wow. That's how he died.
Wow. So, alcohol can kill you, apparently.
How awesome is that? That guy has to be the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde.
We are going to kick off 60 minutes of zero commercials, a whole hour of K-Rock music with our friend Nicole.
Sure.
What? What's the problem?
It sounded like you made some kind of whole hour.
I think. Did not hear that.
No, all right.
Coming up right after we're done, first, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday afternoon. What's happening?
Oh, I'm so excited.
About?
I'm gonna lose control.
Wow. Ralph's been drinking again.
There is exclusive photographs on the internet of scenes from the Wolverine movie. You excited about this? Hugh Jackman as Wolverine?
Yeah.
It's not
going to be good.
X-Men Origins. Wolverine's been around for a long time. Hundreds of years.
Right.
And in the movie, they have footage of him fighting on the beaches of Normandy in World War II.
Okay.
He's coming off one of those troop transports on the beach.
The boats, yeah.
They're storming the beach at Normandy.
Uh-huh.
And he's running up the beach. There's a bunch of soldiers behind him. You know who else is behind him?
No.
Captain America? Booyakah!
What? Is that good?
It's great.
I don't understand your enthusiasm.
It's the first glimpse we get of Captain America on the big screen.
Oh, I see.
He's fighting alongside these soldiers in World War II, you see.
But this isn't about him, this movie.
Right.
He's not in.
So it's just a little
just
brief
a cameo.
A little snippet.
You may have oversold that.
A little Easter egg, if you will.
It's possible you oversold that story.
We get to see him live on the big screen for the first time. It's a tease.
Dean, let's take a vote. Oversold?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Lisa?
Yeah.
Oversold. Sorry, dude.
You don't get it, man.
You're right.
You just don't get it. You go to comicbookmovie.com. They've got a still from the feature film where you can see it, what you'll get to see in the theaters. But go soon, because they'll probably pull it down because they don't want this getting out. Because it's big, big news.
It is. I know.
You don't know, man.
No. That guy. What do you need him for?
Come on.
It's a good point.
Come on. Oh, what's going to happen with Idol tonight? I don't know.
Can't wait till the show's over.
In a couple hours, we'll have the results show. We'll get to see who goes home. Now, if you believe dialidol.com, which is a website that checks out the voting, they predict the voting by checking out the phone calls. They look into the phone traffic.
They can measure the volume of the calls?
Well, they see how many calls get bounced back. If you can't get through on a certain idol, they're assuming that person gets a ton of votes. If it's easier to get through to vote for another idol, they register that it's getting less votes than the others.
And they're pretty accurate.
Usually right on. They have been this season.
Right.
They're saying it's going to be a noop.
No!
Kevin, it's okay, man. It's all right. It's time for a noop to go.
Oh, he's not good. Okay.
A noop, Allison, or Megan Joy will be the...
By the way, Megan Joy, Mike just showed me a picture of today.
Yep.
She's way hot.
From Tyler Durden.
Way hot.
Way hot.
Yes, very attractive girl.
Yes, she is.
But she sings like...
Oh.
No.
But she's
not
hot.
Good. She's not good
she's
at all.
She's hot.
Lisa. Come on.
I'm telling you she's hot.
Gigantic cans as well.
Like, yep. Really hot. You
big boobs, and she's hot.
Why don't you tell us that?
I have told you that many times.
Hmm.
You missed Alexis Grace, who was also hot, but she's gone now. You can't even appreciate her, because you're too late on board.
That's right. I don't want to watch Idol. She's hot. I wish you would have told us.
The good news for you, Kevin, is that they're down to 9 contestants now. I mean, they started off with like 100,000. They're down to 9, so the end is in sight.
So like 2 more months. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's done.
Like baseball.
7 nights a week.
No, it's not like baseball.
It's like baseball.
Baseball sucks.
Goes on forever.
Like it,
this
it
is good.
This is going to end in October along with baseball.
And lastly, Britney Spears is just a nasty.
Ralph,
what is going on with you?
That.
Oh, she isn't. You're right. My bad. She's a great gal.
No,
she's really a classy dame.
You can't say that.
I just did.
It's the drinking between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. just brings out the potty mouth in you.
Well, I'll start drinking before 9 a.m.
Okay, thank you.
She is flying all over the country. The world. Nay, the world, I say. In this private Gulfstream jet that she's got because she's on tour with this circus tour.
Right.
Yeah.
Sources close to the tour say she lets her two dogs pee and poop all over the plane, wherever they want to.
Oh. I hope that's not true.
Really?
Just, go ahead, y'all. You have to go. You have to go. You have to go, y'all. Dog crap.
Doesn't she have people that can take the dogs out of the plane for a little walk? Or so? She doesn't have to do it.
Take them out while they're flying.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were
I'm flying. Guessing most of her flights aren't, you know, 10, 12 hours. I'm guessing they're an hour.
Right.
So take the dogs out for a walk.
What if the dog...
Just hang them off the wings.
I didn't know what you guys were laughing about at first, but I see. Yeah.
Take them outside the plane for a walk. See, I was picturing.
I got you.
Guy in a parachute.
Put in the doggy door in the plane.
I was thinking they were sitting on a runway.
I see.
Okay. Yeah. I see your point.
I'm assuming the peeing and pooping is going on while they're in the air. That's when she's letting them do whatever they want.
I don't know.
Also, according to the story from Star Magazine, Twinkie and M&M wrappers are found scattered all over the plane every time she lands.
That's not a surprise.
Also, the windows are all splattered with...
Ralph. All right, who brought the dog?
And it may be the dogs. We're not sure. I'm just saying we're not sure.
I'm saying we're pretty sure it's not that.
Are you?
No.
That's what I'm saying. All
over the way. Oh, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the wolf in the hunt.
That's true.
Good point.
That's
true. Caesar, thank you.
That is all true.
Right. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Ally McGraw, 71 years old today. One of the great Hollywood beauties at one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was married to Robert Evans. I know you know who Robert Evans is, Kevin.
No idea.
You read The Kid Stays in the Picture.
I didn't read
He's
that.
He's a famous Hollywood producer who's written a very entertaining autobiography.
You might be wasting your time on me with this particular...
I know you listened at least to the book on tape.
I'm not listening to you right now, though, I'm saying.
Jimmy Cliff, reggae singer, is 61. Actress Annette O'Toole is 57 years old today. And rapper, actor, Method Man celebrates his 38th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Very well, job done, baby.